Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Peter Mayer, live at the Republican Convention in St. Paul. Sarah Palin on her own terms. That's what Republicans hope to hear in the vice presidential nominee's speech here tonight. CBSNews.com's Vaughn Verver says the campaign believes Palin fits the McCain brand.
She sort of represents his maverick streak of governance, that she's, you know, country first is the theme of this convention. I think we're going to hear a lot about that tonight from Sarah Palin.
Alaska Delegate Rex Shattuck, though, does not want to hear any more about Palin. Private life.
Seeing elected officials kind of getting scrutinized and evaluated is absolutely appropriate, but you know, when you start digging into family lives, I think that's you know, that goes a little past the pale, in my opinion.
Of course, high stakes for Palin tonight. CBS News Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic.
Most Americans have yet to form an opinion about her, which makes her speech to the Republican convention this evening very important.
A new CBS News poll shows most voters say the running mate choices won't affect their November decisions. I'm Peter Mayer, live in St. Paul. Now with more CBS News, here's Jim Taylor.
Homeward bound, thousands of Gustav evacuees returning to their Gulf Coast homes.
Dwight returned to New Orleans last night from Florida.
Glad to be back.
There are a few basic services in his neighborhood.
We don't have power in the neighborhood, but we'll make the best of it and rough it and just make the best of it and go from there.
And he managed to find the only gas station open for miles, but like many returning evacuees, he thinks now he could have weathered the storm.
I have some reservations about leaving in the future.
Cammy McCormick, CBS News, New Orleans.
Most city neighborhoods do not have power there. Hospitals running on generators. Businesses remain shuttered. President Bush touring Gustav damage in Louisiana says response was pretty good. And then?
Last night we got a request from a company doing business here in Louisiana, and we met that request.
That company, Venezuelan government-controlled Citgo, which will now receive a quarter million barrels of oil from America's Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Deadly tropical storm Hanna moving past Haiti, where at least 25 people were killed by it. A state of emergency declared in Florida because of it. And then there's Ike.
Winds are up to 80 miles per hour. It's Category 1. And it could become a Category 2 or maybe a little stronger during the next day or two.
Hurricane specialist Eric Blake, National Hurricane Center. President Bush says today the U.S. will send an extra $1 billion to Georgia to help the pro-Western Republic in the wake of Russia's invasion. Some perspective, the dollar total is half the $2 billion a year that the U.S. gives Israel. Researchers say that a new screening tool works three times better than mammography at finding tumors in women who have dense breast tissue, molecular breast imaging.
We think that molecular breast imaging could be a powerful addition to mammography to help detect cancer at an earlier stage.
Carrie Hruska is a biomedical engineer with the Mayo Clinic, MBI, giving fewer false positives, she says. The Dow finishing up 16 points today. This is CBS News.
It's time to choose a healthcare benefits and insurance plan. How do I
decide based on facts and my friends who are really happy with Aetna?
You're choosing the most admired insurance and managed care company according to Fortune magazine. And Aetna has one of the largest networks of doctors and dentists. So when it's time to choose a healthcare company,
an Aetna plan can help me
feel and stay healthier.
Talk to your employer or sign up at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health benefits and insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
BPA,
controversial ingredient in baby bottles and other hard plastics. Latest science says, again, it's bad.
A group of top government scientists sticks by its finding of some concern that bisphenol A, a widely used chemical in hard plastics, can cause brain and hormonal damage in babies and children. Though the FDA says the evidence from animal studies isn't enough to act, David Shard of the Center for Science in the Public Interest says parents should take notice.
The types of products that contain BPA tend to be hard, clear plastic, like the traditional baby plastic baby bottles.
Some large retailers, including Walmart and Toys R Us, say they'll stop stocking plastic baby bottles with BPA. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Washington.
New studies suggest that adolescents who take virginity pledges delay having sexual intercourse longer than kids who don't. Only a third of participants aged 12 to 17 who pledged to avoid having sex until marriage proceeded to break that pledge over the next 3 years. The study results in the Journal of Adolescent Health. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
R's for Richmond, the bubble race before the chase to the NASCAR Sprint Cup begins. Yes, R stands for a lot of things, but if R is going to represent any one thing, it's the race that decides the final spots of the Chase Field.
With apologies to Rock and Roll and Richard Petty.
Let's be real. R stands for Richard Petty first, Rock and Roll second, Richmond third, which isn't bad. A top three finish is pretty respectable.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup is on ABC. Coverage begins Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern with the Chevy Rock and Roll 400 at Richmond.
Look, engines need help to increase gas mileage. You need help at the gas pump. And Advance Auto Parts is the place that's going to help out with both. Right now, you can increase your gas mileage and help your car perform the way it should with this great deal on Valvoline Complete Fuel System Treatment. Buy one 12-ounce bottle and get one for free. Yeah, you heard me. Free. Now, the offer ends September 27th, so pick some up, pour some in, and put some distance between those trips to the gas station. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter V. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Watch out.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter V.'s America.
It's just a little to the left of Sean Hannity's America. Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, coming your way from sunny San Francisco. Ah, we survived Denver. We survived Gustav. Will we survive Sarah Palin, her acceptance speech scheduled in the Twin Cities tonight? I guess so. On the program today, we will debut a brand new song from our house musician, Roy Zimmerman. He wrote a song about Governor Palin on his way from Denver to Minneapolis, consulting with his co-songwriter wife over the cell phone. And Roy Zimmerman is echoing the other Zimmerman, the guy we know as Bob Dylan. It's a great tune. We'll have that for you coming up in the Free Speech Zone later today. Also on the program, Brian Katulis from the Center for American Progress. We're going to talk about the history of the surge. Did you know that Ambassador Khalilzad and Secretary of State Rice were against the surge? Well, Michael Gordon, the guy who used to be teamed up with Judith Miller at the New York Times, he survived. She didn't. He wrote a story in Sunday's paper that's fascinating, a look at the history of that surge. And we'll also talk about the change of the guard in Anbar province. And will the Shiites be able to manage the Sunni awakening councils and maintain the lower levels of violence that we've seen over the past year or so in Anbar? Also on today's program, Dr. Phil Butler spent 2.5 years longer than John McCain as a POW in Hanoi. And Robert Greenwald's Brave New Films has a 4-minute feature video about Dr. Phil Butler and his comments on McCain. We'll air that out coming up next hour. Stephen Featherstone writes for Harper's, and a fascinating story in the current issue about human terrain teams. Now, that's a military term that doesn't probably mean a lot, but it's fascinating that the military has finally figured out that these occupations in Iraq and Afghanistan require cultural arbiters, cultural
into, you know, what do we call them, translators. And so these human terrain teams are there to advise our military commanders. And, of course, I could give them free advice. Stop bombing weddings and blowing up women and children. Go a long way toward pacifying Afghanistan. As we kick off the Free Speech Zone today, we will celebrate the free speech rights of reporter Amy Goodman. She is scheduled to check in with us from St. Paul, where she was arrested on Monday and freed later that evening after an altercation with the police. That's all ahead here. You can call in with a question or comment at any moment. Toll-free, 888-5, Peter B., that's my toll-free number. It's 38573-8372. And you can always email me. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. Eric Bowler joins us now from Media Matters for America. Their great website that does all the fact-checking and truth-telling is mediamatters.org. Eric, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, we didn't see you in Denver last week. And
I'm the only paid Democrat, not in Denver, I think.
You were, well, there were 15,000 media people. We'll get to your column in a little while.
Yeah.
That certainly is overkill. But a couple of things developing today.
Yeah.
Barack Obama has said yes to Bill O'Reilly, and
yeah.
John McCain is saying niet to Mr. Suspenders, Larry King. these are shifts in the media landscape.
Yeah.
First of all, how long has Obama been refusing to appear on Fox?
How long has he what?
Been refusing to appear on the Fox News channel.
Well, you know, he didn't do well. He was on during the late in the primaries, and there was a little controversy because his campaign had sort of suggested he was going to push back against Fox, and he didn't. But he, along with all the major Democrats, refused to debate on Fox. Fox mm-hmm. had scheduled two Democratic debates, one in Nevada last year, and the one was going to be with the Congressional Black Caucus. And the Netroots and a lot of activists convinced Democrats it wasn't smart to help Fox brand itself as, you know, a legitimate news organization. Mm-hmm. Both Hillary Clinton and Barack, at the end of the, you know, very hard-fought primary, I think were using every weapon they could, and they both went on. And but since then, in general, Fox has clearly been left out in the cold. We saw it with the Democratic ratings. There's no real reason for people to watch Fox if they're sort of independent or interested in Democratic politics.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that all through the primary season on election night when the returns came in. We saw it during, you know, Fox didn't get any of the debates. They got locked out. And I think Rupert Murdoch and Ailes have just been freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we learned today and yesterday that Obama had sort of the secret sit-down with Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes. And Roger Ailes told the Washington Post this morning in one of my favorite quotes of the month, he said, I just wanted to convince him that we're a normal, that we're a legitimate news organization. I mean, they've been on the air for 10 years, and he has to still go hat in hand to politicians to try to convince them that Fox is a legitimate news organization.
Well, and Eric,
so he's going to be on Thursday night, which is very unusual. Usually the other candidate, the night that, in this case, John McCain gives
mm-hmm.
his convention speech, usually yeah. the other candidate's not around. But from what I understand, it's just going to be sort of a snippet Thursday night, and then O'Reilly will air the rest next week.
Uh-huh. And just a little contrast, because in Denver, the progressive talk show hosts were in a recently constructed wallboard bunker under the escalators.
Yeah.
And all the Fox News guys had prime positions out in the center of the concourse.
Oh, really?
At the top of the escalators where uh-huh. every delegate had to pass. And not only that, Eric, the Fox television controlled the pool cameras.
Right. That was sort of the luck of the draw. I think they were they picked the short straw and they controlled the pool.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's interesting the contrast, the difference between Denver and St. Paul, and it's, I don't know. It's interesting. It's to me, to a viewer, I mean, the press up till now seems to be really trying hard not to tell the real story about St. Paul, and they're just sort of treating it as this sort of normal convention. It got slightly delayed because of the hurricane, but I mean, I was watching the Lieberman speech last night,
yeah.
and when they had the camera angle behind him showing the arena,
mm-hmm.
there were hundreds of empty seats in
yeah.
the upper deck of that arena last night.
Well, he's a riveting speaker.
The whole thing is just, but, you know, no one really talks about, like, it's a ghost town. I mean, it's like a funeral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right,
from Denver to St. Paul, and the press to me last night anyway, it was sort of treating them as, you know, as similar events. They're not even on the same page.
Now, this squabble between the McCain camp and CNN,
they have now
said that because Campbell Brown asked a series of, and to her credit, Campbell Brown's married to Dan Sr. I think of her as a Republican shill.
Yeah.
She's a pretty woman who was hired away from MSNBC earlier this year.
Right.
And my estimation of her has gone up a full notch. Because
doesn't take much, does it?
Well,
a two-minute interview. And
I didn't say what notch it was on before. at any rate, she asked some tough questions. And now CNN is on the receiving end of a punishment, a penalty box from the McCain campaign.
So it's funny, when someone practices journalism on TV now, it's like such a big deal. A, people like you and me do like a double take, like, wait, was that Campbell Brown?
Yeah.
And then the campaign sort of throw these hissy fits. And so, they retaliated by canceling Larry King. No one's ever canceled Larry King in their life because he serves up the warmest matzo balls anyone could ever want. I mean, he's not a hardball. It was just part of the McCain campaign. I frankly, it seems out of a complete desperation, is trying at the sort of the last minute to stitch together this, you know, anti-media crusade out in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I mean, this is politics, not so much media. But if we've seen anything this week, I hold Karl Rove in a slightly higher light now. Because just to watch the McCain camp try to pull this stuff off, they're so amateurish, and it's Steve Schmidt and the others, and trying to create this narrative about how the press is out to get McCain. I mean, I always cringe when I watch it, but they do it so poorly, and it's so heavy-handed. And I guess Republicans are now realizing that actually Karl Rove knew what he was doing when he sort of staged these things. It's like watching, you know, the rookies versus the all-stars. So, yeah, I mean, they canceled on Larry King, and they were appalled at the New York Times because they had three stories about Palin on page one. And they have lots of other so-called, you know, offenses. But, there's a piece in the Washington Post today, and they had a very hard time actually naming any reporters or actual stories. And, there is a bit of a feeding frenzy, and it's 98% the McCain campaign's fault. And they created this situation, and now, you know, they're blaming the press. And it's very interesting. So far, the press, to my surprise, has sort of kept a stiff upper lip. And Joe Klein, who was writing on Time Magazine blog, was urging, you know, the press not to sort of cave. So we'll see if they're able to make it through Thursday. It would be a first, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And in a moment, we'll talk about the front page there at Media Matters, which is all about Sarah Palin these days. And also, I want to talk about your column, the Denver Media Migraine, because I was in the bubble and couldn't see any of the coverage, didn't pick up a newspaper most of the days. So it'll all be fresh on me, okay? That's coming up next with Eric Bollert. Read what he writes at MediaMatters.org. Call us with a comment at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 17 minutes after the hour, and you've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Good for you.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey-based State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Find out what Wall Street isn't telling you and learn how to safeguard your shrinking dollars with the Capital Gold Group and the Gold Show with Jonathan Rose by tuning in Monday through Thursday nights at 8 or call us at 1-800-510-9594. The Gold Show is right here on AM 540 KRXA Monday through Thursday at 8 p.m.
It's 21 minutes after the hour. Free Ride from Edgar Winter there. And Free Ride is the name of the book that David Brock and Paul Waldman co-authored about John McCain and the media. And that Free Ride continues. Certainly he did surprise the press folks, particularly those who were all hunkered down inside the bubble in Denver last week, with his announcement of the young female governor of Alaska as his running mate. And Eric Bullard, it really took him about 48 hours to catch up. Fortunately, it was a holiday weekend, and by Monday, it was the bloggers who were leading the charge with some of the rumors that ended up producing the confirmation of Bristol Palin's pregnancy.
The whole baby thing I wasn't crazy about. There was rumors over the weekend that at Daily Coast about Sarah Palin being the
grandmother,
son being actually their daughter, and she was sort of covering up. And,
right.
I don't think that's what we should be doing. But it was evident that the McCain campaign was going to have to talk about Sarah Palin's daughter's pregnancy eventually, mm-hmm. and they sort of blamed it on the bloggers. Obviously, her daughter was going to be 8 or 9 months pregnant by election night, so they were going to release it no matter when, mm-hmm. and they turned around and blamed it on the bloggers. But in general, I think a lot of bloggers have been doing good, serious sort of vetting about Sarah Palin and her record.
Well, but
nobody's
identified the core issue here, and that is the high fertility of the Palin family.
This is true.
But it also points up what is now becoming, I think, the central meme, which is that John McCain doesn't know this woman,
and
he picked her in an impulsive, last-minute manner, and they're paying a price for these daily disclosures. Now I've learned that she failed as a car wash operator in Alaska.
I just saw that. I mean, the serious stuff is, you know, was she being honest when she said she opposed the bridge to nowhere? We don't know that's true. I think there are some, you know, very serious questions, only because, you know, her religion and her church and the influence of her church and her public policy. I think we're going to find out more about that.
Did you know
about whether she was a member of the Alaska Independence Party or simply attended or spoke at an event? Her husband has been a member.
And did you even know there was an Alaska separatist movement?
I did not, but apparently it has something of a violent past, and it is fairly radical.
Yeah.
So again, you learn things new. Obviously, you know, there are questions about the trooper story and whether she pressured the head of the troopers. Well, she fired the head of the troopers after she became governor, and if she had previously tried to have a brother-in-law reprimanded.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other things about, you know, her governance and what she did as governor and mayor, and I think that's all great. I think the initial baby stuff online was unfortunate, and hopefully we, as a sort of progressives, won't go down that route.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. But what occurred there was that there was a rumor, and the bloggers got it half wrong or half right. You take your pick. And
they got it all wrong.
And then they had to disclose.
And wait, I shouldn't say bloggers. Most bloggers didn't touch it. It was a very, you know, it was a diary of Daily Coast. Most bloggers didn't go near it, et cetera, et cetera. So even to say the bloggers got it wrong is wrong for me because most of them didn't even touch it.
Yeah.
But they did sort of certainly put that Daily Coast diary did put it into play. And then it led to this revelation about her own daughter, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to Denver and take a look at what the press did there. As I told you, I was in the bubble. I was part of the problem. And I read the Times one day, but, you know, we had very limited access to real news. So what's your review of those 15,000 of us who descended there and tried to report?
I was just you were lucky. You didn't have to read and watch and consume it. It was just dreadful. I mean, here you have this truly historic event, and certainly compared to St. Paul, this absolutely this convention is just rippling with excitement and potential, whereas St. Paul seems to be like a funeral. And you know, not content to simply report what's happening, you know, the press for 3.5 days has absolutely concocted this you know obsessive storyline. I mean, you would have thought, you know, Bill and Hillary Clinton were gonna fly in on a helicopter and snatch away, you know, the nomination for Obama right out of Vesco Field. I mean, the fevered hysteria was just amazing. Hillary Clinton had already publicly and formally endorsed Barack Obama, something Jerry Brown didn't do in 92, something Jesse Jackson didn't do in 88, something Gary Hart did do in 84. The idea that the Clintons were going to snub Obama or, you know, set off some sort of floor revolt, it was pure fantasy. But the press, you know, played it up and sort of passed it off as news. And then the second part was it was news when they didn't. You know, it was news when Hillary was gracious and it was news when Bill, you know, praised Obama's, you know, background and the whole thing was concocted when there was already such a great story anyway. And my other point was, why are 15,000 people there to begin with?
Well, yeah, I was certainly there for good purpose, but the rest of them don't even have a good explanation. Well, Eric, thank you very much. Appreciate your views and your reviews. And I want to direct people to MediaMatters.org. There's much more there about the way the media has dropped the ball on Sarah Palin. And I want to commend Media Matters for the great work you're doing. Thanks,
talk
Eric.
To you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Eric Bowler. Coming up next, Brian Katulis from the Center for American Progress. We're going to talk about the background of the surge, who was for it, who was against it, and why they still maintain it worked. and also about the change of the guard in Anbar Province. That's coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Sam Litzinger, sitting in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. If you women are looking for good husband material, a new study suggests you might want to give the candidate a genetics test. It could indicate whether your potential mate will be a loving partner or a big loser. More after this.
Despite the current economy, you can still drive a safe, luxurious, well-engineered car. Because right now, Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned sales event with deals as low as 1.99% APR on select CPO vehicles that have undergone a rigorous 155-point inspection. So you know you're getting a true 100% Mercedes-Benz at a price you can afford. See your authorized dealer today for certified affordability. But hurry, our CPO sales event ends September 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month for $1,000 finance on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contract subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial, participating dealers through September 30th, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
Dion was on to something with that song. A new study from Sweden finds that guys are more likely to be loyal husbands if they lack a particular variant of a gene that influences brain activity. It's the first time that science has found a direct link between a man's genes, that's G-E-N-E-S, and whether or not he's likely not to be a wanderer. Now, this gene variant is present in 2 out of every 5 men, so women, the odds are pretty good that you're going to run into one of these guys who are likely to have roving eyes. So now, of course, this study set off a big debate, with some arguing that, hey, these guys who have this gene variant can't help themselves, which is why they can't settle down with one woman for a long period of time, because, you know, their genes make them go after every woman they see. Others say, wait a minute, just because your stupid genes want you to be a caveman is no reason you actually have to try to seduce as many women as you can. One expert at Rutgers says a guy who's feeling the 7-year itch, or maybe 7-week or 7-day itch, might want to say to himself, oh, it's just my DNA, and I'm going to ignore it. And for those women who think men are animals, you'll be interested to know there are similar studies done on male voles. To be specific, the male prairie vole, who, after he mates with a female, bonds with her for life, and the male montane mole, who's kind of the Warren Beatty of the mole world, when he, the mole that is, mates with a female, he says, in essence, that was great, gotta go, I'll call you, then he disappears.
But will you love me tomorrow?
Answer from the male montane mole, no. Now he and his human counterpart can both blame genetics for their rotten behavior. The Osgood File, Sam Litzinger on the CBS Radio Network.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
9 p.m. Saturdays, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. Quantum minds find the relevance in all of God's creation. Join us with notable guests Admiral Hyman G. Rickover, father of American Nuclear Navy, Albert Einstein, Robert John Kennedy, from the perspective of the quantum mind. The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Link, Saturday, 9 p.m. on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. How are we doing in Iraq today, huh?
I can't take it no more.
I know hearts were broken when Dick Cheney had to cancel his plans to speak at the Republican convention in St. Paul. Well, maybe not. Coming up next hour, the man who served at the Naval Academy with John McCain, the man who spent 2.5 years longer in captivity at the Hanoi Hilton than John McCain, the man who says that he is not fit to be president. Dr. Phil Butler will return to our program about a half hour away. Brian Katulis is on the line with us now. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress in Washington. He served on the National Security Council and also at the State Department back there in the Clinton era. And he is co-author of the new book called The Prosperity Agenda: What the World Wants from America and What We Need in Return. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I got to meet your co-author, Nancy Soderbergh, at the Stadium Obama coronation at Mile High in Denver last week.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, she's wonderful, and we're going to see each other up in New York. President Clinton's having an event for us for a book next week. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, great. It was fascinating to meet her, and good to see the other half of your author team. I wanted to talk today about the fascinating piece by Michael R. Gordon in Sunday's New York Times, because it peels back the history of the so-called surge.
Yes.
And it names a couple of players who were kind of, you know, off in the wings, and also gives us some information about the politics of Petraeus and Odierno, who championed the so-called surge and got job promotions out of it. But before we dive into that, have we really become victims now that the idea that the surge has worked has become an urban legend or part of the conventional wisdom and simply can no longer be challenged?
I'm afraid it's become the conventional wisdom, but people are still challenging it. And, in fact, we're going to put a paper out next week called House of Cards, Iraq's Political Transition After the Surge. And it's in a sense to try to push back against what has become the conventional wisdom that the surge was a good thing and B achieved its central objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, you know, violence has reduced, but there are many reasons why that reduction in violence occurred. But what we're arguing in this paper, which I wrote with a professor at George Washington University named Mark Lynch, based on interviews and some research we're doing, is that the surge essentially has frozen into place the accelerated fragmentation that Iraq underwent in 2005 and in 2006 in particular, mm-hmm. with the massive sectarian cleansing and population displacements. And it's actually created disincentives to bridge the central divisions among Iraqi factions. So you know, the good news is that the violence is down, which shouldn't surprise people too much, because of a number of factors, the displacements, the introduction of more U.S. troops there. But the bad news is that the Iraqis seem a bit further away from actually striking those power-sharing deals that are necessary to lead to a stable Iraq.
And Brian, your comment reminds me that we've had billions of pixels lit up and millions of gallons of ink spilled since Joe Biden was named Barack Obama's running mate. And I haven't heard anybody reference that he's the guy promoting the idea of partitioning Iraq. Have you heard that referenced since his nomination? And is that still a viable notion?
Well, I've been asked about it by some journalists, but it really hasn't come to the fore, in part because Senator Biden has stepped away a bit from his plan. I mean, he promoted it. I think the last that he promoted it was in legislation at one point last year. And he had a website, and but I think he had a challenge in trying to communicate what he was proposing, because yes, I essentially disagreed with a lot of the core ideas he had there, because mm-hmm. it sounded like partition, but he would push back and say, well, no, we're not telling the Iraqis to do this. What we're doing is helping them implement what their own constitution says. So I think he himself has stepped away from that, and frankly, I don't think we're going to hear much about it. We might hear a little bit about it in the debates, but I'm not certain, you know, in his debate with Vice President candidate Palin, mm-hmm. I'm not certain that she knows all that much about Iraq and will challenge him on that. So, and I'm skeptical, you know, if Obama and Biden win this election. I'm skeptical that that will actually be an actionable plan, in large part because there are very few Iraqis outside of the Kurds that express support for Biden's plan.
Now, Brian, taking a look at this Sunday New York Times piece, and I referenced the journalist Michael R. Gordon in particular, because he was teamed up with Judith Miller on many of the controversial stories before the Iraq War that were based on phony intel and non-existent creatures like Curveball. He wasn't non-existent. He was just phony.
Yeah.
And what's my first blush on this is, wow, Michael Gordon still has great access to administration officials to tell him the backstory.
Well, it's not only that. If you look at Michael Gordon's reporting from Iraq, the criticism of his reporting is that he's become a stenographer for the Pentagon. Most of his reporting on the ground in Iraq has been as an embed. And, you know, most recently he was on the ground in Iraq in the Sadr City operations that were conducted earlier this summer,
right,
and also in Basra. So you know, people have their criticisms of his reporting. He actually also did a very interesting piece in the New York Times Sunday Magazine on the intra-Shia dynamics, which actually I thought was quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And as for the piece that you're referencing on the Sunday, this last Sunday, I think people should take a look at it because I actually think it offers at least a glimmer, the tip of the iceberg of what was going on inside of the Bush administration, particularly in 2006 and 2007. Some of this we've heard already, and a lot of it I think we're going to hear in Bob Woodward's book coming out next week.
Oh, he's always got a new book coming out.
Yeah. But it's those internal struggles and the differences of opinion, which shouldn't be surprising, and to a lot of folks that the Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, wanted to go in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
The Joint Chiefs of Staff was offering a different prescription and was deeply concerned about the military readiness crisis, essentially saying that we could do some sort of plus up of troops, but we need a different strategy and more efforts by the State Department and others.
And here's
and then essentially the Bush administration going with Jack Keane and others allied with General Petraeus with this very risky surge strategy.
Mm-hmm. And here's a quote from a classified cable from the ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad, who was rewarded by being shipped out of Iraq to the United Nations, and he's barely been heard from since. But he wrote before the surge was approved by President Bush, "The proposals to send more U.S. forces to Iraq would not produce a long-term solution and would make our policy less, not more, sustainable."
Yeah.
So it's interesting to hear his dissenting voice and also Condoleezza Rice, who said that a massive effort to improve, I'm reading here, this is via Zelikow, said a massive effort to improve security in Baghdad and surrounding areas and a reckoning with the most violent Shia Sadrist militias. So she seemed to be kind of straddling there, but some of the notes she sounded were of concern and caution.
Well, when I read it, too, it was interesting to me because I had heard, you know, at the time about this debate within the administration. But what was interesting to me was to read it in the context of our political debate right now and the criticisms issued of Barack Obama and Democrats who opposed the surge. They opposed it on many of the same grounds that Secretary Rice and people in the Pentagon and others, as you know, Zalmay Khalilzad opposed a surge sound strategic reasons, which frankly I think really are still valid even to this day. I'm deeply concerned about what kind of Iraq we have today and whether the outcomes that we've achieved could have been achieved with fewer lives lost and fewer billions of dollars spent. In a sense, many of the Iraqi actors that have taken control of certain parts of the country stepped up, in large part with the expectation that we would leave. This is the story of the Anbar Awakening and the tribal groups.
Mm-hmm.
They started their initiative long before the surge even began, and they began it actually right around the same time as the 2006 midterm elections with the expectation that U.S. policy would change and that they themselves would have responsibility for their own country. So naturally, they had more incentives to go after the foreign fighters and the elements of al-Qaeda, and they started to do that. And I think the narrative of the surge was we were the ones who went in there, and we're solely responsible for this, and this is certainly what we'll hear from John McCain tomorrow night in his speech at the convention. And I think people need to question that history, because a big part of it is Iraqis taking greater responsibility with the expectation that we would be leaving at a certain point.
Well, and we've also separated the parties with 18-foot concrete walls in many cases, and that kind of ethnic cleansing is a major factor in the dampening down of violence, but it's not a predictor that this can be maintained over the long term, particularly after U.S. forces either dial back or withdraw completely.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, this is why we call our forthcoming paper on Iraq House of Cards, because in a sense, the reductions in violence in 2007 and 2008 may have made true accommodation among the different Iraqi actors more elusive, contrary to the theory of the surge. The theory of the surge, if you remember when President Bush announced it, was that if we help reduce the violence, political actors in Iraq will then have more incentives and motivations to strike these deals and to accommodate. And that doesn't seem to be true. It doesn't seem to be true in, you know, for instance, the issue of Kirkuk, Khan Akin, and some other towns on the border between near the border between the Kurdish Kurdistan Regional Authority in the north and Iraq proper. It certainly seems to be also not the case between the Sons of Iraq, these independent Sunni militias, largely Sunni militias we helped create during the surge, and whether they're going to be absorbed in the Iraqi government. All of these things that were done at a tactical military level to reduce the violence may have, in fact, planted the seeds for further conflict in the coming months or years in Iraq.
Brian Katulis with us, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Now, Brian, there are really two sets of characters in this Michael Gordon New York Times story, the political players in Washington and the generals on the ground. And famously, Bush kept saying that, you know, he would only make changes and bring home troops when the generals in the field advised him to do so. And what this article shows is that he just kept shuffling the generals in the field until they told him what he wanted to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing is what President Bush has gotten wrong or seems to have forgotten is that he's the commander-in-chief, that the generals actually should tell him how to implement the strategies that he, as president, should set. And what we've got is the unusual situation where President Bush is, in a sense, hiding behind generals and then switching the ones that he doesn't agree with, as you indicate. And it's a very interesting dynamic. There's a new article out people should read in the latest edition of The New Yorker by Steve Cole about General Petraeus. And he talks about Senator Obama's visit to Iraq this summer and how Senator Obama makes this distinction where if he's elected president, he says that he will not simply hide behind the generals or say, well, I'll just listen to the generals on the ground and let them set the strategy. Of course, he'll listen to the generals and take their advice, but he, in a sense, wants to be the commander-in-chief, and people have forgotten that under President Bush, to a large extent, was hiding behind the generals and replaced the ones that disagreed with him, replaced Abizaid and Casey and put in Petraeus with who had a different strategy, essentially saying, yes, you know, we'll do what the president wants to do with the surge.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return with Brian Katulis. As we return, we'll talk about that Anbar awakening and the handoff from American forces to Iraqis that's underway. And we'll also preview the fall TV season. There's a sitcom due up on Capitol Hill about mid-September starring Ryan Crocker and David Petraeus. They've got the laugh tracks rolling already. We'll pick up there as we continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, For reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Santa Cruz, California, where the President of the United States, George W. Bush, connects with us by wiretapping. The fact is, an atomic explosion cannot take place in Santa Cruz because this is a nuclear-free zone. This is right. Yes. Santa Cruz, California, where Mr. Twister the Clown got busted for putting quarters in people's parking meters, and the Santa Cruz City Council rescinded that law while wearing clown noses. Santa Cruz, where many men have something that Bill Gates will never have.
Oh, yeah.
Men in Santa Cruz, many of them have a girlfriend that makes more money than they do.
Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruise.org.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 a.m. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build communities, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B., 9 minutes before the hour. We're talking with Brian Katsoulis, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. You got a question or comment? Bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Brian, one more item here from the Michael Gordon New York Times Sunday story, The History of the So-Called Surge. He identifies William J. Lutie, a retired Navy captain, as the insider in the administration who was really driving this counterintuitive idea of adding more troops at a time when the Iraq Study Group and virtually everybody else was saying it's time to reduce our troop presence in Iraq. And I'm trying to remember, was he the guy they appointed war czar? There was a war czar who has since pretty well disappeared.
Yeah, no, that's actually, it's a similar name. The Afghanistan-Iraq war czar is a General Douglas Lute.
Lute.
Which is a different term from Lutie.
Okay.
I'm actually personally not that familiar with Lutie. I've met with General Lute, and he apparently is playing, you know, some sort of interagency coordination role as the Deputy National Security Advisor. But I'm not certain how strong of a role General Lute has played. And he certainly came on board fairly late in the process. You know?
Well, that'll be a trivia question in 5 years.
Yes, it will. Yeah.
I'll take Bush administration losers for 50. Now, in just a couple of weeks, we've got to brace ourselves because the dog and pony show of Ryan Crocker, the ambassador, and General Petraeus, now CENTCOM chief, will be playing in Washington. And vividly, I remember from last year, Crocker's line that, well, the trajectory is up, but the slope is not steep. I'm just wondering what kind of lingo he will dazzle us with this year. Brian, do you have any guesses?
Well, I actually don't know, because Ambassador Crocker is retiring, and he's not only leaving Iraq, he's leaving the Foreign Service.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's leaving at the end of this year, and it raises some questions about, first, his testimony. Is this an opportunity for him to actually be less constrained than he may have been in his April testimony this year or September last year? And he's had actually a long and distinguished career.
True.
Serving in the Foreign Service and, you know, speaks Arabic. And he was in Iraq before, but he was also ambassador to Pakistan. And I think he was also a Foreign Service officer early on in Pakistan in 1979 when our embassy was attacked there. So he's got a very long and distinguished career there. And I'm less clear, you know, in terms of when they're slated to actually appear, and
yeah.
whether Petraeus himself will appear, or whether Odierno. There's a lot of uncertainty here, but I think certainly they'll continue to try to put the best face on things. The most difficult thing, one thing we haven't talked about in this interview, that I think will be difficult for them to address, is this proposed U.S.-Iraq security agreement,
the SOFA.
Which I think there's there's the status of forces agreement, and then there's mm-hmm. a separate strategic framework agreement. There are two agreements under discussion, and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right before Labor Day, right before the Democratic Convention, Secretary Rice flew out, and there was all of this media hullabaloo about there being a potential deal. Now, I was skeptical, just based on the people I was talking to in Baghdad, that they were even close to a deal. And it seems to me that the most difficult question in any congressional testimony that Petraeus or Crocker may face later this year will be, well, what is the status of this agreement? Because Iraqis, from Prime Minister Maliki on down, have been expressing discontent with what the U.S. administration, the Bush administration, is trying to get out of them, and have pushed back and essentially have adopted the timeline proposals that many Democrats and progressives like me or others who are running for office have argued for years, that
mm-hmm.
they essentially want their country back, and they want it back under a specified timetable.
Now, what do you make of the transition underway in Anbar? Is this just a series of press releases, or will the Sunnis in Anbar province, who've been on the U.S. payroll the last couple of years, transition into an appropriate and peaceful submission to the Shiites who run the Iraqi Defense Ministry?
Well, we'll see. I mean, allegedly there's, or reportedly there's a plan to transition these fighters by October 1st to the Iraqi government, that the Iraqi government will assume authority over the mainly Sunni Arab fighters, and they're known by various names, but Sons of Iraq is the latest. Ibn Iraq is what they call them in Arabic. But what essentially we've been doing has been paying former insurgents about $300 a month. And this is the U.S. paying this, and often with the objections of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's government. So in a sense, former insurgents, people that were attacking us and killing our soldiers, we came up with the idea of, well, maybe if we pay these guys, we can get them to flip and calm down. And it seems to have worked temporarily. I mean, and you know, anytime violence goes down, that's a good thing. It begs the question of, well, why didn't we do this from the get-go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did we wait so many years and spend billions of dollars in the loss of so many thousands of lives? But there's another broader question of whether the Iraqi government, dominated by a Shiite coalition, is willing to take these fighters on board. And here I think this is going to be serious cause for concern. You just need only look at some of the statements from Prime Minister Maliki and some of his top advisors. They were never keen on this whole effort
mm-hmm.
that the U.S. administration has done. And you have Haider al-Abadi, who was an advisor to Maliki, essentially calling these guys thugs, saying that they were the ones who were the large numbers were really the al-Qaeda, and all they've done is change their T-shirts, I think he said. So there's no trust there. And I'm very concerned about this so-called transfer and whether it's going to go smoothly, because in a sense, and this will be the test of the surge, if this transfer happens and the Iraqi government takes on this responsibility, then that's a good sign. If it doesn't, what we could see is the civil war in Iraq reignite,
right.
And the plan of the surge may have been just simply arming up different sides in Iraq's internal conflicts.
Brian Katula, Center for American Progress, co-author of The Prosperity Agenda. Great to talk with you, Brian.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir. And will continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your humble host forgot to load the commercial here, so you don't get to hear a commercial right now. I know you're disappointed by that. Coming up next hour, Dr. Phil Butler will join us. The man who was a POW in Hanoi longer than John McCain knows McCain and says he's not ready to be president. He'll explain why. Also next hour, Steve Featherstone from Harper's Magazine talks about his current piece about Afghanistan, where we have inserted military teams called human terrain teams who understand the cultural factors and other issues. He'll fill us in on that. And Amy Goodman is scheduled to talk to us about an hour from now about her arrest in St. Paul at the Republican National Convention. That's all ahead today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Political drama and a huge audience draw for the Republicans tonight.
It's Sarah Palin's big night here in St. Paul. The pressure is on for the governor of Alaska. I'm Howard Ehrenstein.
President Bush relieved and satisfied with FEMA and company this time.
Phase one of the response to Gustav went very well.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Harley Carnes. John McCain's number two will be on stage tonight at the Republican National Convention. Sarah Palin tabbed for vice president. From St. Paul, CBS's Howard Ehrenstein.
Less than 1 week ago, few people in the lower 48 had ever heard of Sarah Palin. Tonight, she addresses the nation as the vice presidential candidate of her party. Her candidacy has stirred some controversy, though, in both her personal and her professional life. But Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell blames a lot of that on the media.
Conservative women are treated a lot tougher than liberal women, and I think this has been a good example of that.
With the pressure on, how will she do?
Sarah, like me, is a former television sportscaster, so I know she will do a great job at the podium.
Former Arizona Congressman J.D. Hayworth is confident.
I expect her to come out tonight and offer a speech that will rally the Republican base, but also introduce herself in favorable fashion to other Americans, and I think it will be to the benefit of the McCain ticket.
I'm Dan Revive in the convention hall. Republicans hope that former Hillary Clinton supporters may vote for a McCain-Palin ticket. Longtime Democratic Party strategist Joe Trippi, now a CBS News consultant.
I think her appeal is, I, as a governor, took on corruption in my own party, and I'm going to take on corruption in Washington, try to get blue-collar women to come across because you hate that mess in Washington as much as I do.
Trippi concedes that strategy may work.
Palin's speech here tonight is getting so much attention that some are saying it's even more important than John McCain's acceptance speech tomorrow night. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul.
Barack Obama didn't like the Republican convention so much last night.
Not once did people mention the hardships that folks are going through.
That's because they were talking about John McCain and his credentials. Obama was campaigning in eastern Ohio at the time. Now this.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much
information. Information is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey!
And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W.
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one moms trust. W. Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use as directed.
People are going home after Gustav, finally, in Louisiana.
Brian Rhodes just returned to New Orleans.
Oh, it was hectic. Traffic, real traffic.
But he was very lucky to arrive and find not only a gas station open, but one that was serving hot food. He hasn't had a hot meal in days.
I just came back from Natchez, Mississippi, and the power went out over there, and we didn't have nowhere to get hot food, so we kind of glad to be re-entering back from the storm.
That's what you hear over and over again. Despite widespread power outages and gas shortages and some tough days ahead, returning residents are just glad to be home. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, New Orleans.
It's Hurricane Ike now, and Eric Blake.
Ike is located about 670 miles east-northeast of Leeward Islands. It's now become a hurricane. Winds are up to 80 miles per hour. It's Category 1, and it could become a Category 2 or maybe a little stronger during the next day or two.
And he says it could approach the Bahamas by Sunday. As for Hannah, who's a lot closer, maybe Category 2 or better with projected landfall north of Wilmington, North Carolina. Hannah is already blowing sand on the beaches of northern Florida in the Carolinas and causing dangerous surf for swimmers. Beach Patrol Captain Scott Peterson in Volusia County.
80% of all rescues we make and 80% of all drownings on any open water beach are due to rip currents.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
It's time to choose a healthcare benefits and insurance plan. How do I
decide based on facts and my friends who are really happy with
Aetna? You're choosing the most admired insurance and managed care company according to Fortune magazine. And Aetna has one of the largest networks of doctors and dentists. So when it's time to choose a healthcare company,
an Aetna plan can help me
feel and stay healthier.
Talk to your employer or sign up at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health benefits and insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
If you're hankering for a drink on an airline and...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Later this hour, Stephen Featherstone from Harper's Magazine will describe the cultural teams called human terrain teams, now assigned to military posts in Iraq and Afghanistan, trying to help the military folks understand the culture on the ground there. Not a bad idea, just a couple of years too late. But first, we're going to talk about John McCain, the POW card, and torture.
A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture.
Yeah, don't worry, it's not you.
We'll never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will build you tomorrow.
The song is called Yell Fire. It's the title tune from a CD by Michael Fronte and Spearhead. Now we know it's irresponsible to yell fire in a crowded theater, but it isn't to try to alert people to the potentials of electing John McCain as President of the United States. Dr. Phil Butler returns to our program today, retired from the Navy. He lives in the Monterey Peninsula area, and I first met him about 3 years ago this week when I attended the screening of a film about the impact of depleted uranium on our service members in Iraq and before that in Desert Storm. And Phil Butler went public with an open letter that he published almost 6 months ago regarding John McCain and his knowledge of the man. And in recent weeks, it's picked up a lot of distribution on the internet. And now there is a four-minute video, a film produced by our friend Robert Greenwald at Brave New Films. And it's on the homepage at bravenewfilms.org. And it gives you the unvarnished comments of Phil Butler about John McCain. Dr. Phil Butler, welcome back to our program today.
Thank you, Peter B. Always good to be back to talk with you and to let you know that, as always, your friends down here in Monterey miss your presence, but we enjoy your program.
Well, I really appreciate that, and it's people like you who welcomed us to Monterey 3 years ago when we launched KRXA, and I won't forget that and always appreciate it. Now, tell me how you feel as the star of a mini-movie that is working its way through viral plays. I don't know what the count is so far, but Greenwald's films typically pick up a million or more views on YouTube within a few weeks of being launched.
No doubt. I never had any idea in my whole life that I could ever be so popular. I've had about five or six radio interviews all in the last week, and I've had two videotaped interviews, one for the Lehrer News Hour, and it's just it's really going like crazy. I just finished doing an interview. It was very interesting for Mr. Klaus Marr, who is the web editor of The Hill newspaper, Washington, D.C. newspaper.
Right.
And I wanted to give you this one just for something lighthearted for all your listeners. And here's a question that I answered that Klaus gave me. He said that he had just spoken about my ad to former GOP Senator Rick Santorum.
Mm.
I'm sure everybody remembers our old friend Rick Santorum.
Oh,
right?
yeah.
And Rick Santorum, who said, quote, "This is Barack Obama's nightmare, that some crazy group suggests that because someone served his country and sacrificed for his country that he is not capable to lead. I think it is so outrageous that Barack Obama should be pleading for these people to take it off the air."
Wow.
And of course, Santorum was completely off the mark, because in the first place, I didn't disrespect John McCain and his service at all. I had nothing to do with that. Clearly said that I respect John and even like him as a person. I just don't want him to be my president, and gave the reasons why. And the other thing, too, is that I didn't need Barack Obama to tell me to write the article. I did it on my own. I had no communication with the Obama headquarters people or anything else. So,
sure. Well, I got a copy of that in February or March of this year, and that was well before we knew Obama would be the nominee. So
exactly. Yeah.
I'm certain that you didn't collude in any way. And also, Santorum was the lead guest on Tom Hartman's program today. He's at the Republican convention in St. Paul.
Uh-huh.
And he's really just a shameless operator who will push his talking points in an irrational manner. And you just offered us another example of that, Phil.
Yeah, they don't listen. They just take whatever gets offered their way and turn it around and attack. And usually it's ad hominem.
Yeah. Now, Phil, let me ask you about one thing, and we'll kind of drift into a recap of your story. I want people to see the video at bravenewfilms.org, but not all of my listeners have internet access, and I'm sensitive to that. But I want to ask you first and foremost, just a week ago, Senator McCain was on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And, of course, one of the issues has been how many houses he has, and that he can't even tell you exactly, you know, how many he and Cindy own. And so he responded to that embarrassing question, which is a minor embarrassment for a rich guy like him. Nonetheless, he played the POW card. And he said, "Well, Jay, you know, for 5.5 years, I didn't have a kitchen table. I didn't have a home." And I really think that he's playing that for sympathy up to a point that people are going to puke. His joke last year in one of the debates about how Hillary jammed through some legislation for a museum at Woodstock, New York, and he said, "Well, I couldn't attend Woodstock. I was tied up." Now that was funny, and a way of referencing his 5.5 years as a POW. But you were there 2.5 years longer. And when you hear him play that card for sympathy and to try to distract people from a simple question about how many homes he owns, how do you react? What's your feeling about that?
Oh, I find it really irritating, and it's sad to me because that's all he has. And if you if any of your listeners have been following part of the convention, and I'll confess that I have to hold my nose to watch it just for a few minutes, but it's all been this nationalistic fervor, you know, country first, and getting Medal of Honor winners up there, and you know, going on and on about military service and war and everything, and that's all they have. And unfortunately, you know, the Republicans are really good at that, and the American people are really apathetic and stupid about accepting that kind of emotional stuff. And unfortunately, I think critical thinking is in short supply in our citizenry in this country, because if it weren't, our candidates would be forced more to talk about the issues, and the issues are what's important. And also, I think it's really important to know what the temperament of the man or woman is today, and not what they did 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Plus, I can attest that having been a POW myself, that job is not a good prerequisite for President of the United States. If it were, I guess I'd be more qualified than John, right?
Well, we'll talk about that. How did it leave you in your temperament? And do you have anger problems the way John McCain does? Or I know you had identified those as a midshipman who was a year or two behind him at Annapolis, and you said he had an out-of-control temper at that point. But just in your own experience, did it leave you, with issues?
No. And I think that people don't change a whole lot over their life. I've done some study in social psychology, as you know, and have my doctorate in that. And I think we find that there's a great deal of stability in an individual's personality and outlook on the world throughout life, probably beginning back in grade school or so. But certainly, as a young man in our early 20s, John's had a wicked temper and was prone to fire off and make instantaneous decisions even then. And he's the same guy now. I mean, he's a brinksmanship guy. He makes decisions without a lot of forethought, much like a president that's in office right now. And I think that's being proven by his choice of a vice president. I mean, you know, he is just one of those kind of guys that I know service people have always for many years described as kind of a guy that's ready, fire, aim.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing on a more personal level I'd like to ask you for an observation. Rick Warren interviewed McCain at the Saddleback Church a couple of weeks back, asked him his biggest moral failing, and he said, well, it was the end of my first marriage. And a lot of POWs came back, and as part of the adjustment, it was very difficult to reconnect with a wife or girlfriend after that experience and after the long time apart. Do you have any comment on that?
Oh, certainly it was. And for each of us, it was a different story. I know a bunch of ex-POWs who are still married to the women that they were married to before they left and after they came home, you know, for 6, 7, 8 years or 5 years, whatever it was. You know, there was a period of adjustment, but they put it back together again and so on and so forth. In my personal case, when I got off the airplane here in this country, I walked down the red carpet at Miramar down in San Diego. I met my wife, and she shook hands with me, and I instantly had this idea that there was something wrong here. And in fact, she immediately sued for divorce, but you know, she remained married to me for the 8 years, of course, enjoying the pay and allowances, and then divorced me when I came home.
Mm.
Which was a bad thing for me at the time, but it turned out to be, of course, life is strange, and turned out to be the best thing probably that ever happened to me, because I certainly did a whole lot better the second time around.
Okay. Well, and I offer that as, some empathy for John McCain, because there are people, including Nancy Reagan, who have vilified him for the end of his first marriage and the overlap in his dating of Cindy at the time. And frankly, I refuse to judge people for that because I think it's very personal. And I think that, you know, you have to deal with the situation at hand. And the public can never really look over your shoulder and I think, make those judgments for you or you know, after the fact.
Absolutely. I Peter B., I agree with you. I wouldn't make a judgment on that either. Mm-hmm. But what I do judge is that the man's personality and his fiery temperament would make him, at this day and age, at this point in time, in our country, I think, a very dangerous president.
We're going to take a break and return. Dr. Phil Butler is with us. You can see the film that Robert Greenwald produced. It's only 4 minutes, and I think it's a great investment of your time. Go to bravenewfilms.org. It's right there on the homepage, bravenewfilms.org. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Phil Butler, join me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Don't miss Dr. Bob Bowman, retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel and head of the Star Wars program under two presidents, this Saturday, September 6th at 7 p.m. at the Monterey Senior Center Lighthouse in Dickman Avenues in New Monterey. Colonel Bowman is on a 100-city nationwide speaking tour on how to prevent war with Iran, how to get out of Iraq, and how to bring real accountability to Washington. Sponsored by Veterans for Peace, the Monterey Peace and Justice Center, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and Monterey 9/11 Truth. For more information, call 233-1032. That's 233-1032.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA and looking good. Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas, we have no stalls, no accidents to report right now. Just a heads up, coming in from the CHP, Highway 25 at Ridgemark Drive, a broken water main apparently flooding the roadway. Drive with caution there. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains, we have nothing for you up there. Just beginning to build some heavy traffic when you get to the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz, and it'll stay stop and go southbound 1, making your way down towards Aptos. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know what happens to flood-damaged cars when they're are pulled from the water. Many are dried out, cleaned up, and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem as you're out and about, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Phil Butler. He was a couple of years behind McCain at the Naval Academy and a couple of years ahead of him at the Hanoi Hilton. Springsteen singing the question, who'll be the last to die for a mistake? And Dr. Phil Butler, knowing what you know about John McCain, is his stubbornness about Iraq and his, sense that there's going to be a victory there, which flies in the face of most people's sense of reality. Is that a part of his personality, in your view?
Yes, probably it might be. But, you know, I think John is really caught up in the whole military industrial complex thing. I think he came home and didn't bother to think and read and find out seriously stuff about Vietnam and the origins and of it and so forth. And I believe that those lessons didn't sink in, and he just got into Washington and became a part of the whole military industrial complex, a part of a phrase, I think, coined by Naomi Klein, disaster capitalism.
Yeah.
In her book, The Shock Doctrine, I think you may have talked about it on your show sometime back. But, you can just see it in the Republican National Committee agenda there with waving flags and all that stuff. They need disasters to further their aims and to keep that whole massive military industrial intelligence complex going, and I think McCain's embedded in it deeply, and he's part of it.
Let's talk to Dave in Eureka. He's a Vietnam vet. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Yes, Peter and Dr. Phil. I ask myself the same question all the time, and I come to the same conclusion. That is, I ask, is there anything at all legitimate about our involvement over in the Middle East, Iraq particularly? Is it not just a means by which they can launder the treasury and divide up the oil assets among the corporate special interests? Or was there anything that we've been told that was legitimate, truthful about it?
I don't think so, Dave. I think from the very beginning, it started off just like you well remember how Vietnam started off with the Tonkin Gulf incident. This one started off with lies, weapons of mass destruction and all of that business. And I think it was engineered from the very beginning illegitimately by the neocons, and Bush was the instrument of the neocon faith, and that's how the thing got started, and that's how it's going right now. It's the same old quagmire, that we're into once again. But I think you're absolutely correct, Dave. That I can't see any justification for it at all.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And Phil Butler, just 1 minute remaining here. John McCain did distinguish himself by opposing the Bush administration's policies on torture, and then he caved in. And Bush issued a signing statement in the very legislation that McCain had carried. What is your sense? Would a President McCain end torture, return habeas corpus, and close Gitmo?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think, like I say, he's a part of the complex, and I think now he's a willing instrument of that whole thing. I think he would continue the Bush policies that are in place, and just to summarize it succinctly as I can, I think McCain administration would be four more of the last eight.
All right. Phil Butler, I really appreciate you speaking publicly, and I hope a lot of people will go to bravenewfilms.org, watch the film, and then email the link to a friend. People need to see the truth about John McCain. Thank you for telling it.
Thank you, Peter B.
All right, good to talk to you. That's Dr. Phil Butler in Monterey. Coming up next, Steve Featherstone from Harper's talks about the cultural teams in Afghanistan. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It turns out that Sarah Palin also has a minister. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network from the Republican National Convention. The Internet is crackling with the latest Sarah Palin story. She is a member of the Wasilla Assemblies of God, where the pastor, Ed Colness, not only believes that God had a hand in the election of Governor Palin, but that the Almighty has special plans for the state of Alaska.
There were some things about the natural resources, about the state. There were some things that God wants to tap into to be a refuge for the lower 48. And I believe Alaska is one of the refuge states. Come on, you guys, in the last days.
Governor Palin was on stage with him that day. In fact, she talked about that natural gas pipeline she's been pushing for and God's role in getting it built.
God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that. But really, all of that stuff doesn't do any good if the people of Alaska's heart isn't right with God. And that's going to be your job. Your job is going to be out there reaching the people throughout Alaska. And we can work together to make sure God's will be done here.
Now, this story is being peddled by some websites as being just as ominous as Barack Obama's preacher railing against historic injustice in America. Except that Republicans will point out that, at least in Sarah Palin's church, God is with America, not against America. I say we see how well that pipeline project goes before we pass judgment. In any case, now we know why she doesn't need earmarks. Now this.
Imagine this. You walk into your apartment and, oh, boy, you've been robbed. Yep, somebody definitely broke in there and made off with the goods, didn't they? Your flat-screen TV, your laptop, and even your race car-shaped bed's gone. Just a devastating loss. The good news is, if you call GEICO, you could be protected for as little as $12 a month. Yeah, seriously, just $12. So first, call GEICO, and second, maybe think about buying a grown-up bed, yeah?
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
This is Dave Ross of the CBS Radio Network.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia. Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour.
Moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
Over the summer, attention has shifted more and more to the conflict in Afghanistan, where we inserted American forces some 6 years ago. And 2008 has seen the largest loss of American lives in Afghanistan since we entered. And we see a series of news stories. The most recent one claimed that an American air raid and ground assault caused the deaths of some 90 Afghan civilians. Now, the U.S. military is disputing that. They say that the number of civilian casualties was no more than five, and that there were Taliban casualties in the incident in question. But it points up one of the things that I've been talking about with various leaders who just talk blithely about inserting more American troops into Afghanistan. And that is that no matter how many troops we put in there, if we keep bombing weddings and killing civilians, even when it is clearly accidental, we cannot win the hearts and minds, and it strengthens the grip that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and perhaps other groups have on the local population. After all, when you're in the position of having your nation occupied and the occupiers start killing your friends and neighbors, you almost invariably would turn to any armed force that might help you in confronting the occupation. Steve Featherstone writes for Harper's Magazine, and in a lengthy letter from Afghanistan that appears in the September 2008 issue of Harper's, he talks about a fascinating approach that is being used by the U.S. military to try to understand the cultural issues that they face in occupying a nation like Afghanistan. Steve Featherstone, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. And in your article, which is entitled Human Quicksand, you profile a new U.S. Army unit prototype called Human Terrain Team, HTT.
Right.
What is an HTT?
An HTT is just a group of five people, and they can be civilians or active duty military, or sometimes a combination of both. They could be ex-military and have come back into the armed forces after having some education in the social sciences, and maybe some background training in language, perhaps. But the idea is that, you know, they could be civilians. So it's totally open to people with no military training whatsoever. These five-man teams go into a region, and the case that we're talking about here, I was in Khost Province in eastern Afghanistan last summer with the very first HTT that was ever deployed. And that team itself was a mix of an anthropologist who just so happened to have military training. There's a native Dari speaker, which is one of the languages spoken in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple other folks who were who weren't active duty military, but they had military background. So the team was a lot of military folks, but they did have some training in anthropology and the social sciences, and, of course, the language.
And describe the problems that led to the insertion of HTT, these human terrain teams.
Wow. Where do we begin with that? We can begin with Iraq. We can begin with moments after the initial invasion and the capture of Baghdad was over. If we can all sort of rewind the tapes in our minds back to 2004, 2003, you might remember immediately after we seized Baghdad, the looting started. I don't know if you remember that, but I certainly do.
Oh, yeah, the museums and also the unsecured munitions depots.
Exactly. So, I mean, right away, we had a plan for defeating the, Iraq's military forces, and that's just about it. So there were anything about sort of rebuilding Iraq's institutions, there's sort of government institutions, their social institutions, was really not part of the plan. And if you might remember Rumsfeld's remarks at the time, over and over again, to the point where it almost got to be funny, was that this was an untidy exercise, that democracy is untidy.
Yeah.
And of course, it just led to one disaster after another. And so the military started to wake up to this. You know, look, we're the only force on the ground here that can do anything, and we'd better learn quick how to do something other than, you know, security operations.
Mm-hmm. So who's responsible for the develop of these teams? I would call them cultural experts who try to explain to the occupying military officials the attitudes and practices and cultural norms of the people they are trying to pacify.
Yeah, that's a fair definition. These teams, the whole program, it's called the Human Terrain System, and within the system you've got these individual teams, which are embedded with brigades. A brigade is a pretty big military unit. It's 3,000 to 5,000 soldiers, and really, it's the best unit of measure in these two wars over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Brigades typically hold an entire region under their area of operations. When this particular HTT that I visited with was embedded with the 82nd Airborne, which at the time had responsibility for the entire eastern part of Afghanistan, which really is the presence where just the sole responsibility of Americans. It's not divided up between Americans and Germans or Americans and Canadians or Dutch or anybody. It's just almost completely and utterly American there. Now this brigade was the first folks to test this concept. And at the time, that the eastern part of the country was fairly, with regard to the south, I mean, if you're comparing it to the south, Kandahar, where traditionally where most of the problems come from, the violence, the east was relatively peaceful. That's not true today. Ironically, maybe, or coincidentally, ever since the HTT has been there, violence has increased by 40% to 50%.
Well, and if you'd care to respond to my opening remarks, if we'd stop bombing weddings and killing civilians, wouldn't that go a long way toward winning hearts and minds of the Afghan population?
Oh, I mean, there's no question. There's no question at all. I mean, it's really, really, really unfortunate, and it really underscores partly what the HTTs are there to address and what this entire human terrain system is there to address. There's no amount of cultural analysis in the world. There's no amount of good feelings that that can be generated that can account for the deaths of 90 plus civilians. And just to get a quick update on your numbers from the beginning, the
sure.
U.S. has now admitted to 30 civilians dead. So it's been creeping upward from 5 to 20 something. Now the U.S. has admitted now to 30 dead, but that's still a far cry from 90,
yeah.
Which the U.N. has already corroborated, and of course the government of Afghanistan.
And just a quick point on that, Steve. Do they acknowledge that many of those were children? Because that was the initial report that caused so much concern.
Not that I've read. No, there's no distinction that the numbers don't make any distinction between whether they're women, children, or whatnot.
Okay.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been an amendment in the numbers, and you're absolutely right. There's just no if we stop doing that, that will go a long way to not, making more enemies for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's, the sort of negative of that, by not bombing people, you just don't make enemies. You don't make friends, but you also don't make enemies.
Yeah. Steve Featherstone is with us from Harper's Magazine. His article is in the September issue of Harper's. And I found it fascinating because it shows an effort on the part of our military to better understand the people subject to these occupations in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I can see that that only can lead to good things. Now, Steve, let me zoom out for a moment from your article and just get your observations from visiting Afghanistan last year. I've heard Senator Obama talk in a way that I consider a little bit too blithe and flip about sending two or three more brigades into Afghanistan. And I'm very concerned because I consider this mission creep. I don't believe the mission is defined. I don't think the two or three brigades are sufficient to fully control the huge, sprawling country there. And I don't believe that anyone has articulated an exit strategy. And I'm very concerned that we may get bogged down in Afghanistan the same way the Soviets did, the British did decades ago. And I regard this as something that should be approached with great caution and a great circumspection. And I don't see that coming from either political party in this very charged election season.
No, I think you're right. I mean, there seems to be a whole lot of chest beating and who can beat their chest loudest over who's going to sort of take care of the problem that is Afghanistan. And the answer from both sides, strangely enough, is the same answer. It's almost who can beat the other to the surge, to what would, I guess, what they're calling a surge for Afghanistan, which really is just means sending more troops. If it means sending more troops to do more of the same of what we're doing now, of course, that's just adding, bad, good money after bad. Or
putting out a fire with gasoline.
Yeah, more or less. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just to have a bigger footprint there of the sort of boot that we're wearing, which is, a pretty clumsy boot, just means you're going to make, a whole lot more mess.
Mm-hmm. And in my view, the real issues are with Pakistan and the tribal areas that border Afghanistan. But we believe that al-Qaeda leadership is in those mountains on the Pakistani side. And with an unstable government in Pakistan and a military that is pro-Taliban, that is very deeply religious in many respects and in possession of nuclear weapons, my concern is Pakistan much more than Afghanistan.
Well, that's been the big, that has been, at least in my experience, especially talking with other Afghan civilians, through translators, of course, but also speaking with the translators themselves, sort of on a sort of one-to-one basis without, a military presence. Routinely, the answer comes up, why do the Americans collude with Pakistan? I mean, the Afghans are just flabbergasted by this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand why we don't take up a harder line with Pakistan. I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm just saying the perception is one of sort of befuddlement among sort of your average Afghan that, they see us on the one hand, dropping bombs all over their country and going after insurgents, but it's a hands-off policy with regard to Pakistan, and everybody knows that, the insurgents cross back and forth across that border area very freely, and sometimes with the aid of Pakistan.
And, Steve, do you regard it as credible that Hamid Karzai accuses Pakistan's Secret Service, the ISI, of attempting to assassinate him this past April?
I think it's credible. ISI has shown that it's capable of pretty much doing anything with regard to destabilizing Afghanistan. The ISI's attention, I think, is more focused on its rival India. So if they can get to India by exacerbating conditions in Afghanistan, that's what they'll do.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steve.
So I think it's certainly credible, yes.
Steve, we're going to take a break and return. I want to talk more about your article in Harper's about these human terrain teams, cultural groups, trying to assess the needs, the mood, the cultural norms on the ground to assist the American military leaders in making the right choices. We'll talk more about that as we continue, and you can join us. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Check
checking traffic on KRXA. Brand new problem coming in for the Santa Cruz Mountains. Southbound 17 at Bear Creek Road. A broken down car that blocks the right-hand lane. Look for some heavy traffic there. For Hollister, Highway 25 at Ridgemark Drive. Some flooding in the roadway. This due to a broken water main, according to the CHP caller, saying water shooting 20 feet in the air. So definitely drive with caution if you're at the scene. And in Salinas, 101, both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard. Some road construction. They have various lanes closed for installation of a new concrete medium barrier, and that will definitely cause delays in the area. Highway 68, nothing to tell you about. South 101, looking at some stop-and-go traffic leaving South San Jose, headed down into Morgan Hill. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LaCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. My guest is Steve Featherstone. He writes for Harper's Magazine. A fascinating article in the September edition of Harper's entitled Human Quicksand, for the U.S. Army, a crash course in cultural studies. And, Steve, I recall the lead-up to the installation of Hamid Karzai was a series of community meetings. Jürgen Loya is, I don't...
Yeah, the Loya, Jürgen Loya, yeah, uh-huh.
Thanks. So my Pashto is a little weak, you can tell. I've been studying late at night, but it's not really sticking.
It's a very tough language.
Yeah. You describe meetings called shuras, which are more modest community meetings, and describe how these human terrain teams will go into a village or a small community and try to assess the situation. And in one case, you visited a doctor who clearly was being threatened by both sides. He didn't feel the government could protect him, and you suspected, or you intimate in the article, that he was treating Taliban members at his clinic. So describe a little bit about how these American HTTs go in and try to assess what's going on and what the appropriate response is for the military commanders.
Well, I'm glad you pointed out that particular section of the article, because to me that's sort of the heart of the tragedy that is our involvement in Iraq there. You know, we have all the good intentions in the world, but it's just not amounting to much. And specifically, I went to this little town called Chembawat, which is a Taliban-friendly town. It's more of a village. And I did not go with an HTT. And I did that specifically because I did not want you know, members of the team sort of performing for my benefit. You know what I mean? Not that they would have.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes it's good to just to go out and, you know, and see things for yourself without having to worry about, yeah.
You mean like committing journalism? Go ahead. Steve? Holy cow, we lost him on my joke there. Can you call him back, Katrina? I was just a toss-away line about committing journalism, and then the line went dead. So we'll get Steve back on the phone here pronto and let him finish his thought. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number, and you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And if you happen to be listening to our program on a podcast or a weekend replay, I always appreciate your feedback, pro or con, and that's peter@peterbcollins.com. Or should you disagree with your humble host, you can always address it to fullofit@peterbcollins.com. Resist the temptation to add SH, just fullofit@peterbcollins.com, and it will reach me. As I mentioned, Steve Featherstone's article is in the September edition of Harper's Magazine. It's one of my favorites. They publish a lot of great original reporting there. And he went to Afghanistan, embedded with members of the 82nd Airborne's HTT, Human Terrain Team. And it's a fascinating look at the cultural issues that arise in the course of an occupation, like the one we are engaged in Afghanistan, and that you know, may continue for some time, particularly as we discuss the intentions of both candidates McCain and Obama. Steve, I'm sorry my joke caused the line to drop there. What I asked you was if you were committing journalism.
Yes, that's right. You were asking about that visit to Shembawa, this village, and what an ATT does and whatnot.
Yeah.
Let me. I'll describe that a little bit for you. This particular village was very Taliban friendly. They had a medical clinic set up there, which was being operated by a doctor whom had been receiving threats from the Taliban that if he didn't stop colluding with the Americans, that they would kill him. And in fact, they bombed his house. They did a number of things. He was very frightened.
Yeah.
And the clinic went well. People came out of the village, just men and children, no women, and they were treated. They treat a lot of people. I can't say whether or not we won any hearts and minds in that. People were very tight-lipped, and the Afghans in that particular village didn't really seem to want us there. So after I left, I spoke about the problem to the HTT. I said, we have this doctor in this village here who's been receiving threats from the Taliban. The response, at least from the local unit that I went with, was, well, you're going to have to take up that issue with your government, not with us.
Mm-hmm.
We can't help you. We'll do this clinic for you, but we're not going to send in a security team to take care of the problem. And so I talked about the HTT with us, and she said, you know, this would be the chief anthropologist, and she asked if I had seen any indications at the clinic of, you know, Taliban involvement. I thought, well, I'm not an anthropologist. I don't know. And she, after I went through a couple of questions with her, it occurred to me that, yes, indeed, that the doctor had, of course, had been responding to the threats made against him by I don't know if he himself treated Taliban. I can't say that. But he did allow Taliban, it's almost likely that he did allow Taliban to come use his clinic,
mm-hmm.
to come in, steal supplies, treat themselves, and then leave. I mean, that's the only way a guy like that is going to be able to stay alive, is by sort of, you know, making a deal with the devil and, you know, just do what he can for his own village while, you know, sort of staying alive.
And so what is the appropriate response from the U.S. point of view? If you're seen as protecting that guy, it makes him more of a target. And yet he's probably seeking some level of protection from the U.S. occupying force.
I mean, our answer to him was, at the time, was fairly patronizing. We had basically told him, said, look, you know, you need to essentially stand up for yourself and, you know, go to your government with your problems. And, you know, if you need to do what you can do for the people of Afghanistan, which I found really tragic. And this guy didn't seem like he was this doctor, didn't seem like he was able to impart with enough seriousness to the soldier that who you're speaking with, how grave his situation was. Now, what's the correct answer? I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I mean, some answers I heard, of course, from, you know, the combat elements were like, well, what we need to do is just get the name, is to do an ambush one night. We know that the Taliban are going to do a raid on the doctor's compound again. you know, we'll drop out of the sky in helicopters one night and take care of the problem. But, you know, the doctor's problem can be multiplied by 1,000 across just that one district. There's so many instances where the fantasy of us dropping out of the sky in helicopters and taking care of what really is sort of like a tiny little local problem that has major impact on a tiny little village is just impossible.
Steve Featherstone, I want to thank you for joining us today and recommend your article, Human Quicksand. It's in the September edition of Harper's Magazine, and it's a fascinating look at the real picture on the ground in Afghanistan. Steve, thanks for joining us. Nice to talk with you. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. There's a podcast available. You can share it with a friend. Find the link on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Hi, it's Peter B., urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend, and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code PETERB in lowercase at MendingAmerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's MendingAmerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Howard Arenstein, live at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul.
In Minnesota, we are always thrilled to welcome another hockey mom to the state of hockey.
Minnesota Senator Norm Coleman on the night Alaska Governor Sarah Palin introduces herself to the nation. Correspondent Dan Revive has seen some excerpts from the speech.
A newsflash for commentators, she'll say. I'm not going to Washington to seek their good opinion. I'm going to serve the people of this country. The delegates here, Howard, are ready to cheer those words and more.
Palin has been a mayor besides being governor for the last 2 years, and former Arizona Republican Congressman J.D. Hayworth says she has more executive experience than the Democratic ticket, and even more than John McCain.
She is a chief executive, and all three of the others, they're all legislators. Now, there are strengths that legislators can bring, but there's a reason why governors have had success on national tickets.
Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer has been to 20 political conventions over the years.
This has the potential to be one of the smartest, most astute political decisions that was ever made, or one of the worst. And I'm not sure how it's going to play out yet. An important part of it will be how she presents herself tonight.
In just about 2.5 hours, I'm Howard Arenstein, live in St. Paul. More CBS News now from Harley Carnes.
Barack Obama was on the stump today.
John McCain may have bucked his party on a couple of things, but on the critical issue of building the middle class and making the economy work for you, he's never been there.
He says he doesn't think John McCain understands what's going on in Ohio. He and McCain are essentially neck and neck in the polls there. A score of people died in a U.S.-led attack on the Pakistan side of the Afghan border in a province where Osama bin Laden and some of his remaining deputies have allegedly had safe harbor.
This is the first known commando raid into Pakistan. Until now, all the known attempts to kill terrorist leaders operating out of the safe havens there have been conducted by unmanned Predator drones.
Pakistan is protesting, saying attacks like this will make it harder for them to wean their tribes from terrorist influences. Ironic that the oil President Bush released from emergency reserves to help the folks in Louisiana went to a Citgo refinery. That's Hugo Chavez, government-owned company. Venezuela.
The prospect of $4 gasoline makes for strange bedfellows, and that's certainly what's going on here.
That's oil analyst John Kilduff. Hurricane headlines in our future again. Hannah expected to be a hurricane tomorrow, already churning surf from Florida to the Carolinas. Carolyn Gall's in Daytona.
I'm not going in the water with the rip currents the way they are.
Farther out, Ike is already Category 3. Could approach the Bahamas by the weekend. Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 16 points. NASDAQ lost 15 and a half. This is CBS News.
Mercedes-Benz is proud to introduce the new 1.99. But the new 1.99 isn't a new car or SUV, it's an APR rate. Available on select certified pre-owned E-Class vehicles at our certified pre-owned sales event. And certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles feature an extensive 155-point inspection. So you're getting a certified 1.99% APR and a certified 100% Mercedes-Benz. Our CPO sales event ends September 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month per $1,000 finance on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial and participating dealers through September 30th, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
Car makers Ford, GM, Chrysler had awful Augusts compared to last year, but it was better than July.
August was the first time since January that sales rose from month to month, but they're still well below last year's levels. Ford's top analyst George Pippa says the industry isn't out of the woods.
The economic conditions and the consumer credit crunch that are resulting in these depressed levels of sales are likely to persist, at least through the end of this year and into next year.
GM's employee discount for everybody sale gave the industry a boost, so they are continuing the deals through the end of September. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
You see some very creative home sale deals these days. In Battle Creek, Michigan, where real estate's been in the deeper doldrums, Jerry and Cindy Mann want to sell you a dollhouse. It's a house made for their children that looks a lot like their big house. The price on it, $169,000. And if you buy the dollhouse, you get the big house for free. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much information.
Information is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey! And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W.
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one moms trust. W. Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use as directed.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We are launching into the free speed zone, taking your calls on any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines are open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Later this hour, we'll get a quick update from Sacramento on the lack of progress toward a budget from Assembly Budget Chair John Laird. That's later this hour. That's a vintage U2. It's called Out of Control. And are the cops and other security officials in St. Paul, Minnesota, out of control? Amy Goodman was caught up in a police action just on Monday night on Labor Day. And two of her producers were detained by the police. And when she attempted to talk to the cops and win their release, she, too, was detained. And joining us now from the Republican Convention in St. Paul, the host of Democracy Now! And author of many books, Amy Goodman. Amy, welcome to our program today.
It's great to be with you, and but under not-so-good circumstances. The kind of crackdown we're seeing on the press is really not acceptable. It was Labor Day, Monday. It was about 4 o'clock. I was on the floor of the convention, you know, doing my work. I was interviewing delegates from the hottest state, which, of course, is Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was headed over to Minnesota, and I got a call from our producer saying that our other two producers were being arrested as he was calling me. I was completely shocked. Our videographer and I raced out of the convention center to the streets. You know, there'd been a major peace protest earlier in the day. Now I raced to find out what was happening and to see if I could prevent my producers from being jailed and
mm-hmm.
charged.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the address in St. Paul. It was a parking lot that the police had secured the area, and I went up to the riot police who had lined the area, and I said, "Excuse me, I want to talk to your commanding officer. You know, I have all of my credentials. I have the security credentials that allows me on the floor of the convention, and you can see that hanging from my neck. I want to get my two producers out. Apparently, they've been arrested." And they grabbed me immediately, pulled me through the police line, forcibly pulled my arms back, and they put these rigid plastic handcuffs that dig into your wrists as they twisted my arms back, then pushed me against a wall and slammed me down. Yes.
I saw the video of that, and from my perspective, you were subject to unnecessary roughness.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, absolutely no reason. And I was clearly a journalist appealing for the release of my producers. And
mm-hmm.
that video has now is number one on YouTube. It's been seen over 500,000 times. It's astounding. People can go to democracynow.org and they'll see it. I went to look for the producers, but, of course, now I was handcuffed. I saw Sharif. His arm was bloody. He had his credentials hanging from his neck. When I said to the police, "Look, you see we have our credentials, and these are security credentials that allow us, you know, when you're senators and congress members, Secret Service came over and ripped them off of us. They arrested us. I demanded to see Nicole, who I heard had a bloody nose. Couldn't find her till I got in the police wagon, and there she was. I want to put Nicole on because she can describe. She filmed her own violent arrest.
Mm-hmm.
She was there on the scene with Sharif to film a protest, and then, lo and behold, the police come at her. This is Nicole.
All right. And then I'd like to talk to you again, Amy, when you're finished.
Yes, hi.
Nicole, hi. It's Peter B. Collins, and you're on the air. Tell us what you experienced.
Hi, good evening. Basically, as Amy was telling you, I went down with my colleague, Sharif Belkadus, to just shoot what was going on, you know, video shoot with a camera.
Yes.
What was going on the street. And basically, we found ourselves just a few blocks away from the office where we're staying in downtown St. Paul. In an intersection surrounded by police officers of all variety, riot cops, cops on horses, cops on bicycles. And, you know, they were pepper spraying protesters, shooting rubber bullets. You know, it was a very intense scene that we found ourselves in. We started moving away from the officers in the direction that they were trying to move us, which was through the intersection across the street. Other cops coming in the other direction forced us through this parking lot. And I was filming the entire time and moving backwards as quickly as I could. And, you know, this video, the video that I was shooting then, you can watch it as well on our website or on YouTube. But, you know, basically you see one protester running away from the officers. You see her get thrown down by a cop from behind. And then at this point I'm getting very frightened and I'm holding up my press pass. I'm shouting, "Press, press, press." You know, I hadn't been in a situation like this before, and, you know, the officers just overwhelmed me, threw me against the car. And, you know, I was surrounded by maybe 5 or 6 officers. They took my hands behind my back and, you know, cuffed me with a plastic cuff,
mm-hmm.
Threw me on the ground, to get your face on the ground, put a foot or a knee on my back, were holding my other leg. I don't know why, either pulling me or turning me. It was, you know, it was pretty chaotic there for a minute. And, you know, at that point, you know, I didn't know what to do. I had to stop shouting press. I got worried about my camera. I didn't know what was going on. One officer picked up my camera, took out the battery, put it back on the floor. And at that point, that's when my colleague, Sharif, you know, he saw what had happened to me. He came running up from behind with his credentials as well. And I only had my Democracy Now! Pass on me, but he was also wearing his, you know, his official high-access RNC pass.
Right.
You know, and he came running up saying, you know, she's my colleague, we're with the media. You know, but they, you know, they did not seem impressed by this, and they, you know, grabbed him as well. They cuffed him, threw him against the wall, and kicked him in the chest.
Now, Nicole Salazar,
that's what happened.
We're talking with Nicole Salazar. She's a producer with Democracy Now! You can see the video she's talking about at democracynow.org. And, Nicole, what you just described is very consistent with the work of a working videographer. And how is it that the police have accused you of potentially trying to riot?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. A good question for them. And you know, Amy and I were actually in a press conference this morning with city attorneys for St. Paul, and I, you know, I tried to raise this question with them of how, you know, their officers are trained and what they, you know, what they anticipate they're going to do in response to, you know, what happened to Amy and I, but also all the protesters out on the street who are also, you know, treated with a very overwhelming amount of force, you know, justifiable or not is, you know, a question to raise. And I asked them this, and, you know, they basically said they weren't going to do anything, that, you know, we could file a complaint if we wanted to. So, you know, it really throws it out there for the public to, you know, to make their own decisions and to look into this and, you know, to ask themselves if this is how they think, you know, officers should be behaving towards, you know, towards the media and also towards, you know, towards individuals who are just trying to express their freedom of speech.
Indeed. Now, Nicole, has this pattern continued? Are the police continuing to operate in a heavy-handed manner?
It appears that they are. You know, at least for this week here in St. Paul, you know, there are police officers here from Minneapolis, from St. Paul as well. It's, you know, it's a federal safety area at this moment. I was just outside of, you know, the prison where I had been held on Monday evening, and, you know, riot cops and cops were coming out of the building then as well to basically just intimidate all of the individuals who had friends inside the jail who were there in solidarity with their friends inside the prison. You know, and they came down and just basically lined up along the sidewalk. All the, you know, the people there in solidarity were basically sitting out on the grass on a strip next to the highway. And these cops just, you know, lined up right by them. So I would say, yes, the, you know, the intimidation is continuing. They are not, you know, seeming at all fazed by any of the attention, negative attention that they're receiving right now.
Nicole, what would you like to add? And I would like to talk to Amy again before I wrap up.
Sure. Well, I, you know, I just think it's important for people to realize that this is going on and that, you know, in order to bring attention to it, it's really going to be, you know, a collective effort on behalf of, you know, many people. You know, that's what got me and Sharif out of prison was all of the support from our colleagues and, you know, all the people who watch Democracy Now! Or heard about what happened and called in. And, you know, we really appreciate that kind of support, but it has to be, you know, a continuing process that really, you know, also looks at what's happening to other people who maybe, you know, aren't Amy Goodman, but also, you know, have their right for freedom of speech. And with that, I'll put Amy back on the line.
Okay, that's Nicole Salazar. Thank you very much, Nicole, from Democracy Now! And again, the video's up at democracynow.org. Amy Goodman?
They're pretty astounding. And Nicole's is extremely dramatic because you just hear her, you know, saying, press, press, where do you want me to go? And then she screams as they take her down.
Yeah. And Amy Goodman, what is the appropriate response for my listeners? Who should they contact to protest this police behavior?
Well, on our website, we have all the authorities. It's very important that it, you know, goes way beyond us. It goes to the issue of freedom of the press, which is critical. I mean, here we are in St. Paul at the Republican Convention. Last week we broadcast from Denver, from the Democratic Convention. These are supposed to be celebrations of the democratic process, and that includes what goes on outside as well, not just on the convention floor, not just in the suites, the corporate suites, but civil society is out there, and people are protesting and peacefully, and they're making their voices heard, and it's our job to cover all of it. You know, whether violence also is advocated inside or outside, every part of the story must be told. And here we are trying to be the watchdogs, trying to monitor what is taking place, and they're taking us down. That is a threat to a democratic society. There's a reason why the U.S. Constitution, well, protects explicitly only one profession, journalism. You know, mentions the press because we are the check and balance on power. So people can go to the website, they can watch the videos, you can see the interviews with us, the interview with the police chief. When I asked him how are people supposed to operate journalists in this atmosphere? And he talked about, well, you can embed with a mobile field unit of the police. No, that's not acceptable. We're independent. We don't want to embed.
Yeah.
In fact, on our show today, you can see Rick Rowley's piece where he's covering protests yesterday of Sherry Honkola's group, the Kensington Welfare Rights Union, the Poor People's Campaign. And there, in midst the riot police, is a Fox reporter because she's embedded. We need to be able to see this from all perspectives. That's why we have to protect the media.
Well, Amy, I really appreciate what you're doing there. I hope you don't get arrested again, but thank you for pushing back and demanding that your First Amendment rights be honored. And I want you to know that all the way from California, you have our support.
Well, thanks so much.
All right. Good to talk with you. That's Amy Goodman and her producer, Nicole Salazar, telling the story of the police overreaction and their respective arrests on Monday, Labor Day. We'll take a break and return to your phone calls. You want to talk about this? You want to talk about Sarah Palin? It's all open and up for grabs. The free speech zone is yours. Call me now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in Hollister. Highway 25 at Ridgemark Drive. We may still have some flooding in the roadway. We did have a broken water main out there. At one point, we had reports that water was shooting 20 feet in the air. CHP on the scene. They may be doing some traffic control, so expect delays. For Gilroy, Watsonville Road at Day Road, we have a two-car crash. It's unknown if any lanes are blocked. CHP on the way. 101 both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard in Salinas. We have some lanes shut down. They're installing a new concrete barrier, so that may cause delays. Highway 17 now checks in, stalling accident-free. Highway 68, nothing going on to tell you about. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know what happens to a car on fire? That heat destroys electrical and safety systems. Find out about fire damage. Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. 23 minutes into the hour, the free speech zone underway and all yours at 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll get right to your calls, but first, a world premiere. Roy Zimmerman is my friend from California who went all the way to Denver last week to serenade us at the Obama Stadium Fest there at Mile High last Thursday. And on his way to St. Paul, hearing the news of the VP pick, he composed this song and serves it up Bob Dylan style, Sarah Pale, or Sarah Palin Comparison.
John McCain chose a running mate. He chose the most qualified, because he looked at his short list and said, she's the least qualified. Had to predict which one he'd have picked. She's the one. Sarah Palin Comparison. She's spent 20 long months as Alaska's governor. 9 of those months with a bun in the oven. Her publicist said she was tested and ready to run. Sarah Palin Comparison.
We'll play more of that a little bit later. That's Roy Zimmerman channeling Bobby Zimmerman, a.k.a. Bob Dylan. And Dylan came out of Minneapolis or Duluth, somewhere there in Minnesota. Greta in Monterey, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
And thanks for the show. I think that when people start to know the Assemblies of God Church, which I heard that Sarah Palin belongs to.
That is correct, and that's the same church that John Ashcroft worships at in Missouri.
Well, if people start going to that church, I've never actually been in one. I read a book called Fire from Heaven, but 20 years ago I had a neighbor who belonged to one of the charismatic churches, mm-hmm. but I didn't know that. What I knew, and she was beside me in an apartment with, she was next door to me, and the apartment had thin walls. And what I knew was this crazy person, that I experienced it, and she'd start making all of these noises. And I was trying to call people for job interviews,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, they're going to think I live in an asylum. And the walls would start shaking and all of these things, and I don't know how many times this happened. And then I told my downstairs neighbor, I said, she's crazy. He said, this is what's going on. You know, I was like, I don't want to go out in the hall, whatever. And that woman said, she was friends with her. She's, well, actually, first she said, why do you think she's crazy? And then I said, she's making all these noises. They're not sounds. They're not words. They're just noise. And shake. The walls start shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, oh, she's only supposed to do that in church.
So she was speaking in tongues in the privacy of her home, I guess, huh?
Right. And I'm like, if people start you know, my impression is somebody goes to one of those churches and sees people falling down and speaking in tongues. I don't think, first of all, I've never been to one, so I'm not an authority. I don't know. I've read one book on the history of these, and but I don't think the American people would say, we're ready for that.
And my email inbox is overflowing with reaction to the Palin nomination. A gay rights group is pointing out that this same church you're talking about is one of those that tries to pray for gays so that they can straighten out. And so they're concerned about that. And the list goes on and on. I'm hearing from right-wing conservative evangelical Republicans who criticize her for being a bad mom, for wanting to be vice president while she's trying to raise five kids. So, Greta, thank you very much for your call today. We jump to Colonel Carey in Monterey. Welcome, Colonel.
Hi, Peter. I'm calling on the wonderful KRXA, or as a KRXA listener in Monterey.
Great.
Great station, great people. And you've got a great program. I commend you're having Dr. Bill Butler on.
Phil, you're right.
Phil, and, and him having been a POW, I presume, with John McCain, I can tell you nothing draws you closer to somebody if you being shot at them and apparently also being in a POW camp with them.
Right.
His comments are very interesting. I also know McCain and worked in his 2000 campaign.
Oh, you did?
The man's completely... defies what I knew before.
Colonel, I got to run to a break here, but I'd like to talk to you more. Can you hold on?
I've got a comment that's relevant.
We'll get you on the other side. Real good. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to weigh in, it's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. 888-573-8372. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic health care approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Frutti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood pasta and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Frutti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Frutti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open for you here in the free speed zone. Grab one at 888-5-PETER-B. If you're on the line, stay there. And if you're not, get there. We're going to get a brief update from the Assembly Budget Chair on the budget battle in Sacramento in a moment, but I promise to return to the Colonel in Monterey who had another pithy comment for us. Go ahead, Colonel Carey.
Well, thank you. Again, Phil Butler, he validated my own observations, which I thought I was being too extreme about regarding McCain. Clearly, Dr. Butler's in a position to know precisely why I determined the following. The John McCain I knew in 2000, I worked my heart and soul out in his primary efforts, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I also observed him in meetings at the Commission on Government Waste in the 90s. And he was very critical of the corruption of Senator Stevens, by the way, among others in some of those meetings.
Right.
The McCain I observed and listened and believed in 2000 could have been another Teddy Roosevelt in this century. I heard him mention that the Republican Party needed to be saved, and he urged myself and other smart people to stay in it and to defend it and save it from the right-wing Luddites and the corrupt, cynical corporatists like DeLay.
And the agents of intolerance of the Christian right.
Intolerance. Oh, no question about it. McCain, he was speaking like Teddy Roosevelt would have, a modern Teddy Roosevelt. His selection of Miss Palin is a dereliction of his duty towards the country. Had he been a senior naval officer doing anything approximating his selection for Miss Palin, he would have been promptly removed from command and retired, okay, possibly for dementia, but clearly for incompetence and dereliction of duty.
And you would have led the mutiny, eh?
I would have happily done that. And I really, really adored the man, okay, in a proper way, shall we say. I really respected him highly. And I truly believed he could save the Republican Party that I cared about because my Republican roots go back to helping Lincoln even in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
It's now become the American fascist and all that implies. And again, Peter, I'm curious if there's any of your listeners who would attempt to rationally justify with facts, not talking points, why Ms. Palin is not unfit and unqualified to be vice president, why McCain has not failed his duty to the country.
It's just it's out of the Bush playbook, the way Poppy Bush nominated Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court, claiming he was the most qualified man in America for that job. And McCain is doing the same thing. And, of course, it's hypocritical of these people who say that affirmative action is wrong or no longer needed. I mean, she's clearly chosen because of her sex. And that, you know, just speaks volumes about the hypocrisy democracy and the way the Republicans can play these appointments.
And other competent women like Kay Bailey Hutchison.
Oh, give me a break. I don't like her much.
Well,
but
I mean,
how about Liddy Dole? We might be able to agree on Liddy.
She's a Republican woman, but she's not for overturning Roe v. Wade.
Yeah. All right, Colonel, I got to run.
I'm urging any other Republican defenders to attempt to offer logic and fact.
All right, Colonel, okay. I appreciate your call. Always good to hear from you here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And we have our theme song for the budget battle in Sacramento.
They're closing all the libraries. They're closing all the libraries. They're closing all the libraries. Unlocking hallowed doors. They're closing all the libraries. Doubling my parking fees. They're building prisons in old schoolyards. Moore used to love it there. Puppet shows and marble stairs.
You got TV, don't complain. That's Richard March, not to be confused with Richard Marx. March is from Sacramento, a great singer-songwriter. And John Laird is stuck in Sacramento again this week. He didn't get to go to Denver last week. And what's happening on the budget, John?
Well, we had a hearing this afternoon on the Republican proposal that has emerged. They don't have it fully into print, but they proposed it, I believe it was last Friday, and we thought since it's finally something that some Republicans have indicated they would vote for, we should let it see the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
It has no taxes, but it also has a completely different lottery borrowing plan for schools. It would cut schools to $5 billion under what their current level is with growth and inflation, and it would also do another $1.5 billion cut to health and human services and raid affordable housing money from local redevelopment agencies. And we thought people needed to hear this, and so we gave the public an hour to speak, and I walked through it with the finance department, and the governor's finance department, on behalf of the governor, opposed this budget proposal. So it was a significant hearing.
Uh-huh. And did it draw any Republican votes?
In the end, we didn't put it to a vote. We're going to continue the hearing Monday, and I think the Senate is going to sit as a committee of the whole, the entire Senate, and hear this on Monday as well. So it was making, quite honestly, it was making my colleagues across the aisle squirm.
Yeah. John, I want to share an email that came in the other day from one of your constituents, Dan Brown, in, I think Salinas is still in your district, not sure. Anyway, he writes, it's time we raise some noise and some doubt. There are two directions I feel can further create pressure on the Republicans. One, force the local media to get off the sidelines and take a stand. Find out if they're stupid enough to support the lame actions by the Republicans or have the courage to chastise them for their failure to participate in the budget process. Number two, start an effort to get local governments to pass resolutions chastising the Republican legislators for their lack of participation in the budget process. He's got two rational points, and I'd ratchet it up one more, and this is you, plural, not just you, John Laird. I think you, the Democrats, need to paint a clearer picture of the obstructionist tactics of the Republicans and the daily carnage that they are creating. I played the song about closing libraries, but health services for the elderly, programs, daycare programs, and preschool programs for our most vulnerable young people, all of these are being affected by the inaction in Sacramento. And the Democrats have showed the willingness to do some things that they consider really ugly. So I'm not criticizing you or your leadership for the proposals that you've made, but I do think that you have to change the way you characterize the Republicans and show how they don't even support their own Republican governor.
I agree, and that's why we're trying to draw them out today, so that in a hearing it was Republicans against Republicans. And the strategy that the person outlined is a good one, and I was excited to see the Santa Cruz newspaper this morning, the Daily, which is a Republican newspaper, call the Republicans obstructionist on the budget. And I think the theme is starting to shift there. But you're exactly right, because the child care centers are, along with community colleges, the first ones to feel the pinch in the reduction. And we had testimony that in past years, child care centers can get lines of credit against the equity in their buildings or their homes if they're family daycare homes, mm-hmm. and that because of the fall in home equity, they don't have that option as easily as they have in past years and past deadlocks. So this is really socking it to people that are on the margins doing valuable public services.
Well, I'd love to see you on a daily basis present another person, a citizen of California, who is an unwitting victim of the political struggle between these recalcitrant Republicans and the Democrats, who I give you a lot of credit. You've been willing to make cuts that are onerous. You've been willing to embrace tax increases in the sales tax that are regressive and not part of the capital D Democratic philosophy.
And we haven't quite embraced those on the assembly side, but if the choice is not cutting education or health care rates by $4 billion to do that, I'm sure we would be hard-pressed to do anything but support it.
Yeah, yeah. So I hope to see that ramped up, John, because we have hit the critical point where people really are suffering as a result of the lack of a budget. And we need to see the pressure put on the Republicans, because so far they do appear to have skated just by saying no new taxes, no new taxes. And I'm sorry, those kinds of bumper sticker approaches are not effective when the state has such a huge budget gap.
I totally agree. I know I've done an interview, and I'm hoping the story runs tomorrow in the LA Times on one where it's, we have made substantial cuts, and this isn't just a tax, no tax. The taxes we proposed were a small fraction of the solutions that we have to do this year. By the time we're done, it's $24 billion of solutions since January. In the taxes we proposed were roughly one-third of that. The rest were cuts or other ways to get there. And I just think you're giving us great advice, and we're just going to have to start doing that, because the real problem is some of us feel the urgency, but the people that are obstructing are not feeling the urgency, and it's trying to figure out a way in their districts on these issues for people to communicate the pain and the urgency to them in a way that they start to feel it.
Yeah. Well, and this is another sad element of the gerrymandering of districts, John, because we don't have much leverage on Republicans who face voters this November in the Assembly and Senate, because their races are already decided. If there was a challenge, it was in the primary, but there are very few contested races in the general election here in California, and that's a direct result of the maps that were drawn in 2001.
I really agree, although we in the Assembly have a shot at picking up at least three seats in November, and I think that's the place that this is going to get felt. It doesn't seem to be happening in the Senate in the same way, where the difference is only two seats. But if we can get much closer to the two-thirds, that's the statement of the people on this.
Yeah. Well, John Laird, keep fighting. I know you wanted to take a vacation. You wanted to go to the convention in Denver. But I know you're working hard to serve the people of California and turn up the volume there on the recalcitrant Republicans.
Will do. Thanks for your good work, Peter.
Okay, good to talk to you. That's John Laird, Assemblyman and Chair of the Assembly Budget Committee in Sacramento. Tough tasks in front of him. Jared in Eureka, thanks for holding. You're next in the free speech zone.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me. I wanted to talk about your Amy Goodman interview.
Sure, go ahead.
I think what we're seeing is an encroaching police state. If they're willing to do that to a prominent, respected journalist, what are they doing to the people who don't have cameras with them?
Yeah.
Just last night we saw Bush equating progressive liberals with the people that held McCain captive in Vietnam.
Right.
And you know, everyday people are being turned into enemies of the state. And we're seeing police acting more and more militaristically. And I think everyone needs to check out all the videos on Democracy Now and, you know, see just how disgusting it is.
Yeah, well, Jared, I share your concern there. And we have crossed this line where the average television viewer thinks of rough police tactics as the norm, because they've been watching Cops and America's Most Wanted and To Catch a Predator. And so they sit smugly on their Barca Lounger with the remote control and that flat-screen TV. And, you know, particularly with the Republican audience watching, they're cheering the cops on. And we really do need to dial back to a stage in this country where we respect dissent, where we respect protest, and we respect those who choose to express themselves using their First Amendment rights, whether they're journalists or citizens. We all enjoy rights under the First Amendment, not just the press. And it was shameful in Denver that the minimal protest presence that was there was herded into a free speech zone so far away from the events that it was very clear that they'd never have any contact with the media or the delegates attending the convention. And while security is something that I take seriously, I believe that our First Amendment rights are just as important. We've lost that balance, and too many Americans don't know that and don't care.
Yes, and they're making dissent a crime against the state. And we need to look at the broader picture, ICE raids that are going on. They're coming for immigrants, and next it's, you know, everyday average people. And, your points are completely right.
All right, Jared, thanks for checking in today, and thanks for holding on. I appreciate that. More of your calls coming up in just a moment. Their line's open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter at peterbcollins.com.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in Hollister. Highway 25 at Ridgemark Drive. We may still have some flooding in the roadway. We did have a broken water main out there. At one point, we had reports that water was shooting 20 feet in the air. CHP on the scene. They may be doing some traffic control, so expect delays. For Gilroy, Watsonville Road at Day Road, we have a two-car crash. It's unknown if any lanes are blocked. CHP on the way. 101 both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard in Salinas. We have some lanes shut down. They're installing a new concrete barrier, so that may cause delays. Highway 17 now checks in Stalin, accident-free. Highway 68, nothing going on to tell you about. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know what happens to a car on fire? That heat destroys electrical and safety systems. Find out about fire damage. Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajita Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Don't miss Dr. Bob Bowman, retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel and head of the Star Wars program under two presidents, this Saturday, September 6th at 7 p.m. at the Monterey Senior Center Lighthouse in Dickman Avenues in New Monterey. Colonel Bowman is on a 100-city nationwide speaking tour on how to prevent war with Iran, how to get out of Iraq, and how to bring real accountability to Washington. Sponsored by Veterans for Peace, the Monterey Peace and Justice Center, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and Monterey 9/11 Truth. For more information, call 233-1032. That's 233-1032. Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I miss James Brown. Wouldn't be nothing without Sarah Palin.
Nothing a woman or a girl.
Stephanie Miller has the best nickname for Sarah Palin, Caribou Barbie. I mean, maybe she'll lock, load, and then, you know, clean a cadaver, a kill, right there on the Republican stage in St. Paul tonight. Runner-up is Geezer and Gidget. That came in from a listener this afternoon. Andy's on the line from New York or Wayne, New Jersey, or somewhere in those environs. Hello, Andy.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and thank you for your support of our adventure in Denver.
Oh, you're welcome. Caribou Barbie, I love it.
Isn't that a great name? Yeah.
It's incredible. This is almost surreal that this is even happening, that she's put up there. Amazing.
Well, we've established that the experience thing doesn't matter. Hillary tried to use that against Barack, and like paper, rock, and scissors, it's change beating both experience and, well, you know, just general appeal. It is interesting how the McCain team realized that if they went forward with a white male vice presidential nominee, they were likely to lose. And so they're desperate to change the game, and that desperation has produced what? A news story every day that is embarrassing to this nomination.
Right, but it doesn't seem to matter. It just, she connects with the lowest gutter feeling of the Republican base, I guess.
Well, look around online, because somebody sent me a clip of an off-air comment made by Peggy Noonan. Noonan is a staunch Republican, wrote speeches for Reagan and Poppy Bush, and she was on MSNBC. She thought the microphone was off, and she said it's that narrative BS. And she's talking about the way the political operators think you have to have a narrative that addresses the religious right. And it's too, well, I'd get fined by the FCC, I guess, if I played it intentionally. But when you hear Peggy Noonan's unfiltered remark and then compare it with what she says when she knows she's on camera and on mic, it shows you, I think, that the Republicans are struggling to put a happy face on this one.
Right. Well, I think there's a good chance she gets blown out of there, but I could be wrong.
Well,
I would hope.
You know, they, as we saw with Tom Eagleton back in 84, you can put somebody on the ticket and take them off, and there are mechanisms in the party rules to change the nominee. But usually that's an admission of a huge error. And, you know, McCain's a real stubborn and proud guy, as we were talking about earlier today. So I think he'll hunker down and ride this out.
Right. And the reason I actually called was concerning the police state, which had been brought up by other people. The amazing thing to me is how blatant these cops are and how they seem to be getting their jollies off when they go after people. And they actually want to, you know, extract pain.
Well, it's the trickle-down effect. I talked a little bit about the cop shows on TV and To Catch a Predator. You know, these are people who at most are sex offenders, And every time they leave the house on camera, they get taken down to the ground, roughed up, cuffs behind their back. And, of course, they're not packing. They're not a threat to anybody. But that becomes the norm. And the other thing is the trickle-down of the torture policies at Abu Ghraib and Gitmo.
Right.
They have empowered people to believe that they're judge, jury, and correctional officer, and that they have the latitude to convict people and then treat them accordingly by meting out the punishment, you know, without the benefit of a court or any of that stuff.
Right. Bush has set the standard. And myself, person, I heard you say this, too. I cannot stand these police. Like, I got stopped a few months ago going into the subway because they check your bags.
Yeah.
And they went through my bags, and they grabbed them, forcibly grabbed them away from you, because I keep the Constitution in my bags, and I wanted to actually read the Fourth Amendment to them. I'm just going to the cops. I'm going, man, you know what the Fourth Amendment is. I know you're doing your job, but you're doing wrong, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to have probable cause. I mean, I go here every day.
Mm-hmm.
How can you look yourself straight in the face and do this to people?
Because 9/11 changed everything. Thanks, Andy. I want to jump to one more call. Daniel in Salinas. Welcome, Daniel. I read your email.
Oh, you did. Well, thank you. I just wanted to call in and comment on the state budget situation.
Yeah, we've got 1 minute, and I read part of your email to John Laird, the budget chair, and asked him to really double up the efforts to point out exactly who the Republican obstructionists are and who they're impacting, the real citizens of California who are suffering.
Right. And anyway, I'm also following on with asking for resolutions from our city council here in Salinas and the Monterey County supervisors to condemn the non-participation of the Republicans in our budget process.
That's right. We have minority rule. They're able, as a minority, to just sit there and do nothing and prevent action from being taken that would keep California solvent.
That's right. And so I think that's the only thing that's going to work is for the people and the local governments to put the focus on the Republicans as the cause of the problem. Because if you look at the general media, they're just saying the legislature is stuck.
Right. You are
and
right.
It's not the legislature. It's the Republicans in the legislature. Thanks a lot, Peter.
You got it, Daniel. Thank you very much. And thank you all for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. What do you say? We do it again tomorrow. Same time, same station.
To you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Howard Arenstein, live at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. One big target here tonight is Barack Obama. Minnesota Senator Norm Coleman drew this contrast with John McCain.
In this presidential election, we have the chance to elect a man who does not just talk about problems and how much he cares, but will actually do something to solve them.
McCain advisor Carly Fiorina put it this way.
We must elect a leader with the courage and resolve to do the tough things and the character and the wisdom to do the right things.
The big moment comes in about 90 minutes when Alaska Governor Sarah Palin takes the stage. Correspondent Dan Revive has a preview.
Palin will talk up her executive experience, volleying some words back at Barack Obama by saying, "I guess a small town mayor is like a community organizer, except that you have actual responsibility."
CBS News political consultant Joe Trippi, a veteran Democratic strategist, says Palin is under some pressure.
They're going to try to run her as this governor who took on corruption in her own party and who, yes, can raise a family, raise a child with Down syndrome, have a daughter who is pregnant out of wedlock, and manage all that and take on Washington.
Americans are about to get to know Sarah Palin. A CBS News poll shows two-thirds of those questioned earlier this week had no opinion of her at all. I'm Howard Arenstein in St. Paul. More CBS News now from Harley Carnes.
Prosecutors in Detroit say a plea deal is expected soon with Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick over perjury and other charges.
In my opinion, I have said this consistently, resignation would be the best step.
That's Detroit Councilwoman Sheila Cockrell. Going home to Post Gustav, Louisiana.
I'm August Skamanka in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You think you've seen long lines at the supermarket?
The line on the other door formed, it appears, last night and early this morning.
Try visiting the first grocery store powered by generator to open after a hurricane. They told